Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and it is Sunday, and it is time to have some straight talk. We are the talk show that is made for men by men, except not even ladies want to miss our show. And tonight will be no different. We're going to take on a topic that brings controversy in many different ways. We're going to take a very common topic and look at it from many, many, many different perspectives. And I always love doing a screen share, so I am going to bring in some experts to help us better understand. And until we get to that, let's bring in a beat. Share this video. Good evening, good evening. And welcome, welcome. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men, by men. And not even ladies want to miss our show. It is the best place in the world for men to actually be able to think and speak like men. No censorship, no circuit breakers. This is a place where men get to come alive and speak, act, engage as men do. And that makes it a great place for women who may have questions or really want to understand how men really conduct themselves without the influence and restrictions of a woman. And that's why it's a place that not even women want to miss. Straight Talk was created because for decades, women have had opportunities and platforms to speak about life, love, relationships, money, and always get to talk from a woman's perspective. They even defined manhood, believe it or not. For decades, women have been defining manhood and what men should do and their role in relationship, and at the same time, they threw out, even with the baby in the bathwater, they threw out the whole idea of women having roles. If you say a woman has a role in a relationship, well, they'll call you a misogynist and you hate women and your mother was a woman and all these insane things that they come up with. So we created a place where that kind of manipulation just doesn't work. So we talk about life, love, relationships. We talk about topics that are often, they may be considered a sacred cow. In corporations, there's something called a sacred cow. It means it's a topic that no one should touch or discuss because that's just the way we do things and we don't deal with it. We don't even broach the subject. And there are many things in our society, especially dealing with women, but there are even more things when it comes to talking about men and what they think and the things they desire that we're just not supposed to talk about. There's supposed to be this unspoken, men just are like this, like one example, men only want one thing and we think with our little heads. We've been told that and we're not even supposed to question that. Why buy the cow when you can get it for free? These things have been imposed on men as though they are some kind of reality. So we talk about things that are often not discussed. They may seem politically incorrect. People have stated that I bring up provocative subjects and ask provocative questions. But sometimes, and tonight is going to be one of them, I'll ask questions that are commonly discussed, except I'm going to take a very unpopular, rarely discussed, possibly even counterintuitive approach to a topic. And we're talking about daddy issues. Yes, daddy issues. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can jump in my blog talk. They seem to be letting it run full steam this weekend. The phone number for that is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. So we're having a conversation on Blog Talk simultaneously. I'm live streaming on YouTube, so if you'd like to join that, I can drop the link for that if you guys would like to join in. And whether you don't have to come on screen, there's a way to do it if you want to remain anonymous. So you can join the discussion. You guys know I love to do a screen shares and, you know, share some articles and even some videos where we can have experts talk about it. But I always have more than one title that can fit into a topic. So the conversation we're having is, do all women have daddy issues? A second conversation with that is, should men exploit women with daddy issues? And I'm going to tell you why I'm even asking that question. A major part of the motivation for this topic came from Clubhouse. If you guys are familiar with the app Clubhouse, I was invited to come in a conversation. The topic was, are people ready for love? And what I heard, and there are men and women in this conversation, what I heard from the women sounded very much like daddy issues, except not necessarily the way people think of daddy issues. So I'm going to take a few calls. But before I do that, let me read some of the thoughts that I had in preparing for this show. Most people are familiar with the term daddy issues. It refers to a woman who grows up without a father in the home. As a result, she may date much older men. It is assumed her dating strategy is a way to fill the void of not having a father in her life. At the same time, is it possible for a woman from a healthy two-parent home to still have daddy issues? On the surface, it may sound odd to make the claim a woman who grew up with her father in the home can still have daddy issues. However, after listening to many women describe what they expect from their love interest, it sounds as though many females have not acquired the ability to separate their dates or love interest from their father. Yes, We all know her father is the first man in her life. Nevertheless, many women have confusion about love from their father and what love actually is or looks like. If she's dating a man, she will require him to express love exactly the way her father did. Instead of getting to know her love interest as the man he is, she only seeks the man who is exactly like her father. This strategy literally closes the door on most men. If a man reminds her of her father, it is like she demands you play the same role as her father. When you don't, she's disappointed. And that often leads to divorce, and the man never even knew what hit him. So we're going to dig deeper, because I think it can get even uglier than that. What's going on, country boy? Tech man, Kenny, good to see you in the house. So those are just some of my thoughts. If I just quickly tell you about what I saw in Clubhouse, what I witnessed was, and a lot of guys say women can't love you, and people read from the Bible and say a man is supposed to love a woman and a woman is only expected to respect the man. What seems to be happening and why a lot of women may not actually love the man is because she has a lot of confusion about love. So in this Clubhouse, a woman was, you know, one guy asked this woman, hey, in your last relationship, why did you love? What is it about this man that you love? And she was being really slippery and tried to sidestep the conversation. And she kept saying, well, you know, I love all men if they do this, do that. So he finally nailed her down and she said, well, I love when a man wants to learn about me and understand me. And of course they jumped all over that and said, so love for you is as long as the man is just dedicated and wanting to know about you. So then she said, no, I love the guy. What I loved about this man I dated is he taught himself to code. What I loved about him is he learned things that he didn't. What I loved about him is he learned a new language. And all these things. And then when you let her go on, what you found out was her grandfather did the same thing. Now, I didn't ask her if she grew up in a single mother home. Well, what she imposed on men was, if you do what my grandfather did, and my grandfather was self-taught, he learned about this, he learned about that, and for her, these were good feelings, like grandpa knows about stuff, I can learn from him, I'm safe, grandpa learns about me. And so for her, she believes that's what love is. That's the reason you love a person. And it really creates a lot of confusion, because it's really, as a child, her interpretation of her grandfather loving her is him learning about her or learning about things. And she equates that with love. So as a man, if you do those things, you are replicating what grandpa did, or some women have their father, but in this woman's case, it was what her grandfather did. So what essentially happened is she gets into a relationship with a guy, and she doesn't even have to get to know him. She just has to know, will he do what grandpa did? And if he does, well, and she later said, I admire that guy. So this is not love. This is her confusion of love. So her interpretation as a child is that's what love is. You learn different things. You learn to understand me and people. But she doesn't really understand how to love a man. So when she grows up, she's got granddaddy issues, because she's in relationships attempting to force men to be her grandfather and do her interpretation of love. And then for the guy, what a guy could experience is he's getting absolutely no love, because her understanding of love is what I described. And so that can create a lot of, you know, that can have women going through a string of men and never having any concept of responsibility in a relationship for what it takes to build and create. She just has what her granddaddy gave her. And that's a form of a daddy issue. It's very much like she's bringing the little girl to a relationship and expecting a man to be her father or grandfather. And a lot of guys don't really see that or understand it, so they get caught in that. So I'm going to take a few calls. Area code 870. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
Well, good evening, Ted. Yo, Ted. Are you there?
Hey, there you go, Joe. You're live and on the air. Can you hear?
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, listen, Santos.
Yes,
Mayor
sir.
Mayor Kendricks, we talked about this. You are a plagiarist. You know why? Because
why?
I was on a show that had the same topic as this one, the daddy issues.
Really?
This is my second show in this week about daddy issues.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, so far, am I taking the same exact approach?
Nah. It's similar to what he was doing. He wasn't going as much into depth as you are, and as you will continue to be, since I know you that you will. But it's like I say, it's similar, but then the conversation drifted off into ancillary items. So
okay.
I was just kidding around. Because this I know you're going to have a study. You're going to have, you know, some research done. So, cool. Oh, and what you've said so far, yeah, it makes sense. If a girl is really in love with her grandfather, for the right reasons, she, when she grows up, will, and I don't blame her for this, will want men to have those kind of grandfather qualifications. But yet, as you were talking about, it kind of forces the man to become the grandfather so that she can kind of relive in her mind, she may not even be aware of, the experience she had with the grandfather as a child. Am I summing that up fairly well?
You're summing it up well. And the other part of that is that's her childhood interpretation of love. Granddaddy did this, therefore, granddaddy did this, it feels good, therefore, anything that feels good, it's love, right? So she's love, and second, she doesn't even get to know the man that she's now dating. Like, she almost can't distinguish herself from a little girl in a relationship with her grandfather and an adult in a relationship with a man.
Yeah, if the person can't, because of some kind of subliminal motivation, because her childhood at that particular point was very, very good for her. And she doesn't really know the difference between lust, appreciation, love for family, platonic love, and romantic love. Yeah, it can not only be confusing, it can be the prime motivation for her to find a man of those types of qualities. Yeah.
Well, and so the other part I'm saying, just because your grandfather learns about things, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with developing a relationship called love. It may have provided her security because she was able to learn things from her grandfather and maybe felt smart and empowered, that kind of thing. And my granddaddy's always learning about stuff. But that's not actually developing love in a relationship. That may be the security women, you know, yearn for from a male figure.
Yeah. As long as it's not an overwhelming motivation, as long as it's not an overwhelming obfuscation of what love is really supposed to be, I don't blame her, because it's like a lot of girls will blame men for being mama's boys, but they're not mama's boys. What they're looking for are characteristics of love, support that they got from their mother in their wives. So, again, just as long as it's not an overwhelming motivation that doesn't create the confusion that you're talking about, if it's on a rational, balanced level, I think it's okay.
Well, see, actually, you just said something that I was going to get to, but you got to it sooner, which is she hasn't learned to distinguish the kind of man you have to be to do those things, right? So she's looking for specific to-do actions, as opposed to knowing how. So even a guy may be looking for a woman who does these, you know, you hear these things like my mother didn't do it that way or my, you know, that. So instead of that, you're looking for someone with intelligence, caring. You know, if we take the woman with her grandfather, he's curious, he's intelligent, he's caring. And he may not do the things your grandfather did, but he has these qualities, right? There's the ambition.
Right.
You have to want to look for that as opposed to looking for he did this one specific thing, because then you're going to be really muddying the waters and not really understanding what you're looking for. Yet you're imposing.
Yeah, makes sense.
You're
right.
Still imposing.
I got it.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, so, I have a bad connection with you. I'm going to call back and see if that corrects it.
Okay. All right. Kendrick, you still there?
Be right back.
Hey, Kendrick.
Good evening, Ted. How's it going?
There you go. How are you, man?
Oh, that's good. I just had to call back in. This old phone was acting up on me.
Okay. Yeah, we got you loud and clear now. I heard the little bit of static or whatever was going, feedback was going. So what do you think of this topic? We're just warming up to it. So what do you think? Do all women have daddy issues?
Well, to be honest with you, I quite frankly don't know, but I'm glad you brought this topic up to you, because you never cease to amaze me, man. And I'm looking forward to getting into this conversation.
Kendrick, Joe was acknowledging you and saying hi.
Oh, what's up, Mr. Joe? What's going on this evening?
How you doing?
So, one of the things I was saying at the beginning of this is sometimes I take on topics that are almost never discussed, but tonight I'm taking on a fairly popular conversation. I'm just going to take maybe a counterintuitive perspective and maybe kind of an ugly side of it, and I didn't get to that yet. So you almost got me there, but I'm pulling back the reins for a second.
Yeah, but remember, Kendrick, remember when you and I talked about how Ted likes to plagiarize certain stuff for his show?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kendrick says, yeah. We got you, Ted.
I'm such a plagiarist. I'm just going to bring out the articles and not think of anything. How's that?
You know why I call him a plagiarist? Because sometimes he comes up with good bumper sticker, jingoistic type of ideas that I should have come up with. Okay, I'll get you, babe. I'll get you.
So, I have to do a screen share. Sorry. I'll share the screen on this. Hey, look, guys, if you haven't smashed...
One thing I do want to be serious about, though. You had a show last Sunday. You brought in sports instead of relationships. Hey, what about your regular audience, dude?
Well, a lot of people actually, a lot of people got enjoyed the conversation and engaged in. So, I could have integrated relationships into that. I was close to, but I just didn't, because they were talking. They got into heavy duty sports and, you know, potential Hall of Famers and who's going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So. So it got real man cave-ish, so I let it ride.
Yeah, I was just at 7 o'clock on Sundays is my relationship 2 dual hours.
All right. Good to see you in the house, Big Exclusive. Fathers set the example for what their daughters need and look for in a future husband. Yeah, I Big Exclusive, I understand that. But I think the waters get muddied and there's a lot of confusion and it actually can cause a woman to sabotage her relationship. So what was I thinking? I was going to do a screen.
You said you're going to get into the muddy, you're going to get into the ugliest side of the daddy issue.
Not yet.
Really don't get to.
Yeah, not yet. It's going to be ugly. People are going to have a problem with it, but yeah. I was saying, if you haven't smashed the like button, if you're listening on YouTube, smash the like button. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a good time to do that. Hit the bell so you get notifications and share this one. Even women really want to hear this conversation. They may not like it. I mean, the motivation, I was in that app Clubhouse. The conversation was, are people ready for love? I was asked to address the topic and answer the question. And you know, I said no, and you know, listening to what the women were saying, even some of the guys, you know, there are, on the one hand, I get, and this guy just said, fathers set the example for what their daughters need and look for in a future husband. Well, it's almost like women never grow up, and they are literally expecting a man to be their daddy, or, you know, this one woman was speaking about her grandfather, not her father. And they, because they don't grow up, they're looking for a man, and you hear this, you know, pay my bills. But even more than that, if they had a good experience with their father or grandfather, they're expecting you to play that exact role and do exactly what they did. And that really diminishes you as a man, as a human being. It's almost like she's not interested in who you are. I just need you to fill this role that my daddy filled. And then there are cases, think about it this way. If you grew up without a father in the home, imagine being third generation, no father in the home. That means you have no access to your father, no access to your grandfather or great-grandfather, and neither did your mother or grandfather or grandmother. So you're now dealing with generations of this emotional trauma, because that is what happens when a parent is missing in a home. It doesn't matter why they're missing. It happens. And you have no way of engaging a man in this like intimate father-daughter relationship where you can understand men, and you don't have it for more than one generation. So the most that you'll probably do is get it from TV, movies, books that you read, school, friends, you know, relatives that may have grown up with the father in the home. What the worst part is, you're going to have this imaginary father that you're going to be looking for a man to live up to. And that can be daunting sometimes.
That's very true. Yep.
That's why so many women have this long list, because they have no clue about what to expect from a man. So they just make up this imaginary thing that doesn't exist. And they don't even qualify for that guy. What's going on, West Coast?
So T, can you kind of help break that psychology down in layman's terms to what you just said about the imaginary man that they trying to make up in their head? So as opposed to the type of men that they need.
Well, they don't have any clue about what they need because they didn't grow up with a father in a home. Their mother didn't grow up in a father in a home, and their grandmother didn't grow up with a father in a home. So that's three generations of men missing. So they have no idea.
So they compensate for that by the Harlequin romances, Hollywood, Disneyland, and the experiences of the girlfriends around them and the environment that they feel that they're enmeshed in. Yeah, so in other words, they don't have an example that could give them at least some sort of path, but instead they have this litany. It's what I would call their subliminal desire for a hero to compensate for reality.
Right, and Reggie just said in some form all females have some form of daddy issues or a man who fills that role, whether positive or negative. And so that's part of what I'm talking about now is that if you didn't have a father in the home, you have to now imagine your mother didn't have one, your grandmother didn't have one, so none of them can tell you what it's like to live in a home with a man and have that bond with your father and the example. So they're just all, you know, those are the three blind mice giving you a description of an elephant. And they're on three different sides of it. So, you know, the trunk, the foot, you know, the body. And so now that woman has to make up in her head what it means to be a man and how fantastic it would be to have a father. Because she's got this preconceived notion that, you know, and seeing other girls, whether at school or her cousins, who have a father, and it just seems so great to have a daddy at home. So she's going to make up these fantastic ideas about what it would be like to have a father and therefore what it would be like to have a man in your life. And Kendrick, you know, I may have talked about this on the show. I dated this woman. I was 21. She was 36. And her mother conceived her in Puerto Rico. Her mother was a maid. And she worked for a very wealthy family in Puerto Rico, and one of the sons impregnated her mother. So, and during this time, you know, there was no abortions were dangerous. So, once the family knew she was pregnant, they said you have to leave Puerto Rico because it would, you know, it would be a shame to the family that our son impregnated a maid. We don't want this scandal.
Right.
So we're sending you to New York, and so she never, ever met her father, ever. It would have been too much of a shame, so she had to, her mother had to leave, and she, you know, had her in New York. So this woman, someone's got, are you guys eating potato chips? Joe and Kendrick, you guys sharing potato chips?
That's probably me for some reason. I'm not eating anything, but I'm going to put myself on mute anyway.
No, it may be your mic brushing up against the clothes or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's probably the earbud mic.
Yep. So this woman had no idea what it was like to grow up with a father. Her mother raised her as a single mother. And I remember one day she said to me, she saw all the other little girls having fathers. And this woman was 15 years older than me. So we think of daddy issues and younger women dating older men. But this woman, 15 years older than me, literally asked me to play a role. At some point in our dating, she became comfortable and confiding in me. And there was a role that she wanted me to play that she thought her father would have done. Because she knew some of that had happened with the other girls that she knew. So, Kendrick, that's kind of what I'm getting at, right? So a lot of girls grow up without a father, and they have ideas about what the father would do. So they have expectations only based on really a fantasy. And as Joe was saying, they may have watched the Disney Channel and we already talked about the princess stuff. But they have ideas about what it is to be loved by your daddy, and how your father may express that. So, and that's why you may get these women who are like, well, if I had a father, he would have been 6 feet tall. He would have had a six pack. He would have made six figures. I would have been well protected, well loved, adored. You know, I would have been safe and all these things. So that's what I want from a man. That's the kind of man you have to.
So in other words, Ted, what these sound to me, what some of these women equating to is a John Henry type of thing, those hard-working, robust type of men as they daddy back in the day.
It could be that. It doesn't necessarily. It could be a guy who's, you know, in touch with his feminine side. So whatever her imagination is, each woman is going to have their own imagination based on friends, family, the media, books she read, conversations with teachers at school, all of those things.
But if you notice, Ted, a lot of times when they say, oh, 6 feet tall, six-pack and all that, they normally referring to those exceptionally athletic type of dudes, those Herculean type of figure dudes, and say, but that man, he's a small percentage on the planet right now. Everybody just not built like that.
Yep. But that's their assumption, is that's how their father would be, and they would feel safe and protected by a man like that.
That's interesting.
Hey, West Coast, man. Thank you for the super chat. Put them tiny, my little water guns away. I just read his, you guys don't know what he's talking about. Maybe Kendrick can see. Joe, I have a sleeveless shirt on from working out in the gym. So I've got some bicep. I mean, Reggie, look at that, man. Look at that. Come on. You got to be kidding, man. That's a real bicep there, man.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm thinking about, you still have your shows on Friday, your YouTube shows, relationship shows?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I'll
probably join you this Friday.
All right, perfect. I forgot what it was about this Friday. It was a good one. It went on for a long time. And Reggie said Joe was picking up my bad habits by you making noise. That's what he was saying.
Yeah, I figured that when you said it.
So he wants to be the king of making noise and disruption, right? So let me bang out a screen share. Let's talk about daddy issues. What do they say about it? So I'm going to look at a magazine called Healthline. And it says, yes, daddy issues are a real thing. Here's how to deal. It says the term daddy issues gets tossed around a lot, but most of the people doing the tossing are getting it all wrong. So they're going to set the record straight with us about daddy issues. It's become a catch-all term to describe almost anything a woman does when it comes to sex and relationships. If she has sex too soon, doesn't want to have sex, or is looking for reassurance, she's got daddy issues. If she prefers older men, likes to get spanked and called a bad girl, or calls her partner daddy in bed, must be daddy issues. So to set things straight and get you in the know about this almost always misused, misunderstood, and overly gendered concept, we reached out to Amy Rollo, triple licensed psychotherapist and owner of Heights Family Counseling in Houston, Texas. So she says, it starts with a headline here. We're gonna bring Reggie in. What's going on, Reggie? You have to put you on mute or what, man?
No, I'll be ready to step outside because I'm in this hallway. I want people coming in talking because I'm trying to, you know, Yeah, you know, I'm trying to clean up my act best possible, but, you know.
All right.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, well, I've already answered it. I believe that every female is going to have some form of daddy issue, whether it's negative or positive, because if daddy was a simp and did everything mama did and put mama up on a pedestal and she paid all the bills and he was at work, he dedicated his whole life to the family and this and this, you know, all of that, then, you know, that's going to be her idea of the guy that she, you know, is going to want. And she just wants them. She wants the queen princess treatment. She doesn't want to have to want, worry for anything. She just wants this stress-free, I call that a slave in modern time, but, you know, that's a whole nother thing. And then, you know, whatever, then, that's the positive that, you know, she had this type of person. Then you have the ones who got abandonment issues, daddy issues, and this, you know, that's a whole nother thing that, you know, I, me personally, I've seen it all. So, so that's the negative and positive about that. And then, I think we talked about it earlier, it's just like, you know, when you look at this type of guy, I don't really think that she's really totally sexually attracted to him. I think it's on a more of a utility, security level. Because, like I said, when women have said something to me like, well, you know, your mother was black or this, and I was like, and then, you know, you degrading this or, you know, they didn't like what I was saying or whatever was going on. I was like, well, you got to understand, I don't view you even like my mother. You know, when I looked at my mother, you know, I never got a Woody. I'm looking at that black chick over there, and I want to put her down on her. So, obviously, I don't view every woman, you know, like my mother. So I'm just thinking the same way with a female. If she's looking at this guy, unless like you said, Ted, they got some undercover sexual desire for their grandfather or their stepdaddy or their daddy or whoever this man was that played this role in her life, you know, that's some serious issues. So,
you got a little ahead of me on that. You got a little ahead of me on that one.
Oh, that was too much for you to handle?
No, I said you got a little ahead of me. Like you introduced something before I was ready to introduce it. But well, I'm going to come back to that.
Hold on,
Reg. You're just a little ahead of me. I'm not ready to go to that yet. Not yet.
Okay.
That's what I mean. You're a little ahead of me. Not ready to go to that.
I didn't know if we. I didn't know. You know. You was really gonna go there at all. But we talked so much. Yeah.
Let me address something you said. So if she has all these ideas because her father did it, part of the problem comes. That becomes a problem because a lot of women will end up being irresponsible. That's how they have this false idea of love. So my daddy did it, it felt good, and that's love. That's how my father did it. So my father went out and worked and paid all the bills that he loved. Hey, Reggie, go on mute.
Oh, I told you. There we go. Hold on. Sorry.
So that can have a woman be very irresponsible in a relationship because her ideas about love are still very much a little girl. Even an example where I said the grandfather learned about all these things, she can kind of sit back, kind of like the princess, and do nothing. So when she gets into a relationship, her idea about love is that she gets to sit back and she's not responsible for anything. If you as a man don't do what my grandfather or father did, you don't love me. And the way I know you love me is you do all these things, and granddaddy didn't expect me to do anything in return, neither did my father. So that can create a very – if she doesn't grow out of that, it's what you would call an immature love. And very irresponsible. And that's what I got from what you were saying, Reggie.
And here's another thing, too, Ted. Reggie, you brought up the abandonment issues. I don't know if you're going to be going into that later, are you?
Yeah, I addressed it up front when I said the emotional trauma. So that's what happens when a parent's not in the home. It's abandonment, but what it does is it traumatizes the brain. And you guys have heard me talk about the brain only has one
division. In oxytocin or stuff.
There's only one section of the brain. There's only one section of the brain that registers trauma. It registers physical and mental trauma in the same. So your brain just knows it's been traumatized. So if that's what the abandonment causes, it causes trauma. Go ahead.
To dovetail from what you were talking about as well, and how the woman is going to be looking for a man that's going to resemble her father very, very closely and not doing it rationally. Abandonment issues could also lead to a woman rejecting her man because she loved her father or her granddaddy. Now, the father or the granddaddy left her. So she's afraid of falling deeply in love with a man because if she does, she's going to be afraid that he's going to leave her.
Yep.
So she's going to create problems in a relationship to break up the relationship before it breaks her up.
Hey, and Joe, there's a second part to that. What she'll also do is choose guys who are lousy. And so they're so lousy because part of her interpretation is, I was abandoned, even if she never met her father, I was abandoned because there's something wrong with me. So because she thinks there's something wrong with her, she's got to find a guy who has more wrong with her. The crude way is she thinks she's fucked up, so she's got to find a guy who's more fucked up than her. So that's how you get a lot of these women choosing the bad
boys. Good point, Ted.
And a lot of guys don't realize you dodged the bullet. I don't care how great she thinks there's something wrong with her. Technically, there may be nothing wrong with this woman. She just believes she was abandoned because something was wrong with her. That can be dealt with and corrected. Except she thinks there's so much wrong with her that she's got to find a guy who has more wrong with him so that the guy feels like, I'll never have a woman like you and you're so great. He's going to be so grateful that he'll never – it's a way for her to ensure or guarantee a man doesn't abandon her. So she can always say, you're nothing without me. I'm better than you and blah, blah, blah. And but she can go down a list, and that's how you'll get women with guys that you're trying to figure out, like, how is that a match? But it's her
security.
Good point, Ted.
And Ted, and that's the reason why I'm glad you brought that point up, because a lot of times when these women are rejecting guys, like you said, these men don't even realize we dodging a main bully man, because they doing us a favor by rejecting us, because these women got so much screwed up in their life and in their head, man, it's just ridiculous. They just basically doing that man a favor.
Hey, Ted, can I get a piece of this? My father told me that 20-some years ago that, and actually Coach Greg Adams, I had that in a part of one of his last videos. Guys don't seem to understand. When a chick breaks up with you, she's actually doing you a favor. You just don't know it at the time. Because for one thing is you sacrificed to be with her because men are not monogamous creatures anyway. So you was compromising yourself just trying to, you know, to for her. So, you know, but I just wanted to reiterate, a lot of times, and each time that whether I broke up with a chick or she broke up with me, my life always got better.
Well, Rick, okay. Reg, yes, I'm with mm-hmm. you on that. What I'm saying is, I'm talking about the woman who won't even date you because she thinks you're better than her. When you find out how screwed
okay.
up she is, she's going.
Oh, you're right.
No, you're going to abandon her. So she would. That's.
Oh no.
That because her.
Yeah, I've been down that road.
But because she thinks her father abandoned her, she wants to avoid that. So she's going to avoid certain men. So it's better. It's safer for her to choose a guy who she thinks is worse than she is.
Well, no. It still goes back to comfort zone when it comes to that. You know, it's like you said, she did, you know, and really, she thinks that there's something wrong with you because you like her or love her, and she really knows really how screwed up she is. So now she's looking at you like, you know, I'm getting ready to hurt your ass, or I'm, you know, she still might really understand that.
Well, that's a very good point, Ray.
Yeah.
She just avoids a lot of men because she doesn't want to be found out that something's wrong with her.
Right, but I get ready. Yeah, because to really be honest with you, you're trying to. She really belongs in the slow lane, and you're trying to pull her over into the fast lane, and she really knows. And you'd already pulled over to the middle lane a little bit, and she's getting a little uncomfortable. And you're trying to put her in someplace where she's really not sure, or maybe she knows that she don't belong, or you know that she can't keep up, and then she knows that you're gonna have to get rid of her because she doesn't belong there.
And then she starts.
What are you talking about, Reg? Right, and what you're talking about is called the Groucho Marx complex, because it was named after Groucho Marx. Yeah, because it was named after when he said, "I don't want to, I will never join a club that would have me as a member."
Yeah. Oh, Groucho with the cigar, my cigar brother. Okay, cool. Smart, cool.
Yep.
He said that.
Yo, T. I want to bring some to your attention real quick.
Okay.
Not trying to deviate from topic, but I want to bring this comment to your attention. This Sonya Smith down here in your chat talking about y'all some simps. I don't know what she referring to, but I'm gonna say this live over the airways. I don't do no simping or no tricking.
That's wrong. hey, country boy, was that fraud?
Somebody named Sonya Smith.
She's been here before.
Don't worry about it. That's a female, man. She's irrelevant. Let's you know. Don't even worry about that. Don't be listening to nothing I got to say.
Wait.
That's irrelevant.
She's been here before, Reggie. This is not her first rodeo here. So.
That's okay. That's my opinion anyway. I'm just giving it to you. Okay, then.
What's going on, Khalil Bey? What do you mean the sound is bad? Even my voice, the sound is not good?
You sound all right to me, O.T.
You're on Blog Talk, but she...
Everybody sounds right.
Yeah, but he's on YouTube, so I'm making sure.
Okay.
Hold on, Reg. Sonya Smith. So, why do you say we sound like simps? I'd like to hear why you say that. I mean, if you're gonna make an accusation, now I'm asking you to back it up. So, why do you say that?
Explain.
That's right, Sonya. Back it up.
And I remember.
Have her call in, Ted.
They want to talk to you, Sonya. So the let me give you the phone number. Phone number is 323-642-1387. That's three. Actually, I'll drop it.
Yeah, let me repeat it. It's 323-642-1387. And we won't bash you. Just come on in. Give us your opinions. We'll listen to it, and then you can listen to us, and there'll be a nice back and forth. So don't be afraid.
Well, I don't know. She already got a problem because she obviously don't know what a simp is.
Well, she can come in through YouTube. So,
yeah, because ain't no simps on this live stream.
So, Sonia, we're talking about, hold on, Reg, hold on. We're talking about daddy issues. So, not something I made up. I didn't coin the term. I'm doing a screen share. You can see it. The article says, yes, daddy issues are a real thing. Here's how to deal. And this is a psychologist, Amy Rollo, triple licensed psychotherapist and owner of Heights Family Counseling in Houston, Texas. And what Amy says, what does it even mean? It's hard to say seeing as how daddy issues isn't an official medical term or recognized disorder in the recent edition of Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. This could explain why many experts have an issue with the term, including Rollo. For the record, I don't believe the term daddy issues, Rollo says. Many see this phrase as a way to minimize female attachment needs. Children need a dependable adult in their lives to form secure attachment, is what the psychologist Rollo explained. If this isn't formed, many people can form avoidant or anxious attachment styles. If a child doesn't have a father figure in their life consistently, this could lead to an insecure attachment style later in adulthood. So this is a psychologist saying this. She adds that for many people, these attachment styles ultimately present as what some refer to as daddy issues. Where did this concept originate? We can't say for sure, but the consensus seems to be that it dates back to Freud and his father complex. This is a term he coined to describe a person who has unconscious impulses and associations as a result of a poor relationship with their father. From the theory came the Oedipus complex, the theory that children have subconscious attractions to their opposite sex parents. See, we can talk about the Oedipus complex, right? The guy wants to kill his father and marry his mother. That was the story of Oedipus, right? The tragic story. Oedipus complex refers specifically to boys. Electra complex is used to describe the same theory as applied to girls and their fathers. So the Electra complex. So that's, I guess, what the professional industry once they call it the Electra complex, or that's the daddy issue. Are there different kinds? Yep, no two people's experience with their parents is exactly the same. The attachment patterns formed during childhood can affect your attachment styles in your adult relationships. And that's all we're saying, is that the things that happen or don't happen with a girl is going to affect how she relates to men going forward. She may have false expectations from men based on what her father did, and that could be that the false expectation is I'm going to be abandoned, or it could be a man is supposed to work, and there's he's, as Reggie was saying, he's just a workhorse, and that's how he proves his love to me. There's nothing else, as Reggie was saying, he's a utility. Or your father may do some great things, and instead of you getting to know a man based on who he is as a human being, you just expect, you have these boxes. Well, my daddy did this, so you have to do this. My daddy did that, you have to do that. And so this is what this is really laying out. This is not my idea. She said, y'all used up. Y'all worried about these used up broken broads. It ain't your job to save them. Let them die. She said, I like you, old cat.
I like that.
She, listen, I didn't read it all. You may have a compliment here. I like you, old cat. I just be talking shit. I'm glad to see people can reach out to each other and connect. Y'all got the stepdad energy in here.
I kind of like that. I liked him at the beginning. The ending part, I didn't like. But yeah, that Captain Save-A-Ho syndrome can be not a good thing for you. So I agree with him there. Yeah, and most of these women are damaged goods. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. That's why we're having. That's why we're having this conversation. Correct.
Yeah,
it's better for a guy to know. It's better for a guy to know. You know, to be able to navigate through the minefields. Well, you know that at least 80% of these bras out here are fucking damaged goods. And the black community, at least 85% of them is suffering from some form of mental illness. That's evident because they're walking around with another race of woman head, hair in their head, trying to change this or that. So, or they hate themselves, abortions, all of this. So you can't tell me the majority of black women don't suffer from some form of mental illness. So, with all this information coming out, with all this information being disclosed via Dr. Ted Santos and the rest of the YouTube crew and everybody else, I mean, we want this knowledge to put out here because this is a minefield, okay? I'm 55. I'd have been through a couple of hundred brawls, been around the world. I'd have done my thing. This is for the guys that's coming up behind me. And if this is a younger cat that's listening in, well, they've been a smart, you know, at least he is listening in, and he's getting this information, and he can start spreading it. Or he might see some more younger guys this way, and they start, you know, picking up these things and stuff. Because I'm good.
Right.
Financially, physically, spiritually, everything, Reginald Hart is good. Okay.
And I try to tell them, too, because we got, like you said, the Claymores out here. And a brother ain't trying to get his foot blown out.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, and Ted came up with something. These guys need to understand. Don't be I'm sorry. Be loving yourself. Don't be loving these broads. Because, and I'm not saying to disrespect them. I'm not saying, she's going to be genuine. If she's willing to give you 100%, she's willing to compromise and sacrifice to be with you. That's somebody worth being with. Otherwise, you got to know what you're dealing with and what kind of relationship you need to have with this person if you want to have one with one at all. You understand?
And it's good, Red, that men like you had to go through the lessons of life to teach that younger cats what's going on out here.
Oh, yeah, like I just said earlier, when she break up with you, or she shows you who she really is, and you understand I got to get away from this mug instead of sitting up there trying to fix the bitch. I mean, fix the girl or woman, whatever. Then you're just gonna save yourself a lot of heartache, pain, frustration, and time. And she really might not be worth the time that you're gonna waste trying to fix something that can't be fixed. A shattered glass cannot be fixed.
Mm.
And that's what you're dealing with out here. I see it all day long. I mean, not in Ted's world, because Ted, you know, we already had that talk. Ted's in a whole other, you know, where everything is. I'm here with the dysfunction. I'm out here in the world with the dysfunction, looking at it all over the place.
And you know what? Like the old late Johnny Taylor said, Reg, everything's out in the open now.
That's what I don't understand. The chicks that showed you what time it is, they told you how they viewed you, you know, utility. You're here to serve them for some strength. You know, they got their rights. They got the daddy government. You know, they got their pimp. And now the pimp is trying to find a simp to put his whore on so he can extract some resources from them, too. So, I mean, if you want to get caught up in that game, go right ahead. But, I mean, the laws have showed you, the government has showed you, his pet bull on your ass, that female, which is his property, has showed you how she really views you. Now, it ain't 100% now, but the overriding majority. But the overriding majority is like that, okay? And like I said, both of these chicks defend each other. You know, they defend their whoredom, their dysfunction. They can't do no right. I mean, very few of them, come check them and say, hey, no, girl, you out of place. You don't disrespect your man. You don't do this. No. So you got to look at this. I mean, it's you know, the whole game, they're not even really covering it. They stopped covering it up a long time ago. I think the guys are in denial. If I ever see a guy down there getting married, man, I shake my head. I will not go to no. I don't care who it is. If my son talking about he about getting married in this country, daddy won't show up. I ain't coming to your further funeral, son. I don't go to weddings.
That's the thing, though, Red. Back to what Chad said, that's how come men going to have to groom these girls back for marriage. We're going to have to get back to that.
Well, they got daddy government over there. He the pimp.
Okay, as long as you get us some lobbyists to change the laws. Get us some lobbyists to get them to change the laws.
Oh, man, if it was really that important to me, and men would have had this shit changed over. Men got the wealth, got the power. And they really wanted to go in there and do this. So, I don't really. Hey, a woman's natural nature is whore. Let them be who they're going to be. You know? Let them be what they're going to be. Whores are to be enjoyed, not married. That's all
true.
I got to say. Okay.
But everything ain't wife material. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying, I mean, unless you want to get married, I ain't seen don't have your seed, with anybody. But
right.
I tell guys, if that's what you want, you need to go overseas or you need to go to another country. You're going to have a family in the Dominican Republic. You working here in the United States. You go home once a month. Your money stretches so far over there. And there's guys who actually, if you were to have your kids in some other country, third world country, where your money's just turned over so much and you got a family there, if you could go home once a month or every 2 months and see your family and kids, you probably will see your kids a lot more than a lot of guys out here who paying child support. They got joint custody, and they don't even see their damn kids.
I believe.
Think
it.
About it.
I believe.
You'll see your family more just having them overseas and going to see them. Mm-hmm. That's a sad thing.
But
go
it's
ahead,
true.
Dr. Santos. It is what it is. I mean, the gloves is off. I said a long time ago, feminism freed up guys. I think. It's a good thing unless you're trying to own something that you can never own, unless we're going to go back to the real traditional time when women and children were the property of the man, then it's okay. But as long as daddy government all up in there, and I mean, that's a money making racket right there. We're talking about a $1 trillion industry. I mean, they playing on a men's biology. Your natural biology has been used to tear your ass up. Okay, and they don't call a family courthouse the devil's house for nothing. That's where Satan resides out for that baby. Satan waiting for you. All right, I'm done. Mute.
So Sonya had a few words for you, Red. She said, "You ain't lying." She said, "Y'all men are the ones they mad at because you ain't let them slow you down." That these broads are paperweights. Yeah. She said, get you a fertile Latina, like you're saying, Reg. Okay. These broads sold all niggas for welfare in Section 8. So I wanted someone who was that? Someone asked me, what did that woman...
That's true.
The older woman asked me for something. Who was that who asked me? Big exclusive. Ted, can you talk more about the older woman you dated that wanted a daddy in life? What did she want you to do? I'm not going to say what she wanted me to do. And not like trying to avoid it. I wanted to address the question, but it was something I never know who's listening to this. So I don't want to put it out there like that. But she asked me, she was just asking me to do things that she felt her father would have done. And imagine this is, I guess you can call that a daddy issue because she didn't have a father. She was looking for something that her father would have done. And hell, I was much younger than her. So daddy issues, it seems from that example, daddy issues are not really limited to an older man, younger woman. It could be just the woman who sees you as some type of authority figure or someone who she believes could play the role.
Oh, this is something else here to you.
So, I'm gonna show another
father substitute. Yeah,
a father substitute, right? Your age doesn't matter as long as you are a guy who can fill her imagination.
That's right.
I mean, I just don't want to feel like I got to raise my spouse though, kid. That's still kind of, you know what I mean? That's still kind of off to me.
That'll be
weird.
You know what I mean? Listen to how many times Reggie and other guys have said women are children. In the state of Utah, if your wife does something wrong, commits a crime, and you're with her, you are responsible for what she did, not her. That's in Utah.
What?
Hold on. Come again.
I never heard that before.
I didn't hear you. Can you please rephrase that thing?
Let me tell you a stab at it. You're telling me that if you went into a store with your girlfriend, and your girlfriend just happens to be a kleptomaniac.
That's be your wife. Your wife.
Oh, your wife. All right. And your wife's a kleptomaniac. And she steals a bottle of liquor. And she walks out and they find her. And they got her on security. And they catch her. I'm responsible if that brought my wife.
Yep. Let me tell you where that happened in another case. I think it was Ohio, one of the Midwest countries, where a married couple, at some point the guy demanded a DNA test, found out that this child, one of the children, wasn't his. So he wanted a divorce, and he wanted nothing to do with child support for this child that's not his. And the judge said, sir, when you married your wife, you knew what she was capable of. You are responsible for the child and the child's support.
What kind of madness is that?
It was some unprecedented case where that happened. And this has happened quite a few times.
I mean, how you responsible for another individual's action? That's the most absurd and most asinine thing I ever heard in all my life, kid.
Court of law.
Hey, country boy, I've been down to family court, bro. You ain't been down there. I told you, go spend the day down there, family court, and get an education. You're going to see some stuff. It's going to be like, you're going to be scared straight after that. They don't call it the devil's house for nothing, bro.
I mean, I'm already
only,
scared,
only
though, with all this red pill stuff out here.
There's a reason why the lawyers is happy, the judges is happy, the stenographer is happy, the sheriff's up in there is happy, the parking meter plate, everybody's happy. That's a money-making machine for your ass, okay? They put all that together there, and the women up in there is smiling and happy. The only people up in there who not happy? The men.
Of course, the men.
They about to get that wood up in their ass, okay? And I'm telling you, just because you think you, Mr. Wright, you done everything, that ain't got nothing to do with it. That just means you did. Oh yeah. Oh, you willing to be taken advantage? And they gonna go in there. They gonna get that ass, okay? Because remember, the government got to get their slice. That's a $1 trillion industry right there, that whole thing, okay?
Well, we need to take the industry down then.
Well, you can go get the government. If you can go, you had the government go blow up they money-making machine, go right ahead, okay?
Right now, they're supposed to be bankrupt. how the economy messed up, and everybody still sticking money in their pocket. Come on, man. Come on, that money ain't just walked out the door. Come on.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's always been that way and it's always going to be that way. Go ahead and tell them what time it is.
And touch the sorry and the sorry kick in. Ain't going to be no more of that. Go ahead, T.
Hey, someone asked, in Utah, if you're a Mormon, yes, you can have more than one wife. I don't know what the limit is would definitely, Mormons in the state of Utah are allowed to have more than one wife legally. So someone just asked that on Instagram.
I mean, at this point, I really wouldn't want to deal with no multiple wives. That's a headache, to be honest with you. The way things going.
Yep, I was answering a question. That's all.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Someone asked a question. Hey, Chris, what's going on, Chris, in the house? Hey, Chris, go on to Chris. Yep. So big exclusive. No, it was nothing to do with paying bills or taking charge. No, it wasn't like that. This was a while ago too. So women were not talking that pay my bills stuff. It was a very different environment. She was very much old school. You know, she was traditional. She was raised in a very strict Puerto Rican household. Her mother was extremely protective. You know, in some ways you felt bad because this woman was extremely gorgeous. She was very, very attractive, and her mother was so protective that she really didn't even do a lot of things that she didn't fully understand, and she got into some bad situations. But she was just looking for what she would have expected from her fathers, like some kind of interaction, communication, that kind of thing. Nothing. Like and Latinos, you know, there is this affection even in the language of Spanish. There was more of what she would have looked for from her father. I mean, that's the best. Nothing to do with paying bills and spanking her and being a bad girl. Not down that path at all. Let's see, Chris, they are on Blog Talk with StreamYard. I dropped the link for StreamYard already, so the link is there. Be great if Sonia came in. She seems to. I dropped the link to see if Sonia would come in.
But Ted, this is crazy, man. I didn't know laws like it existed in Utah.
Yeah, man, there's a lot that we don't know. That's why I talk about some things. So everything Reggie said about these daddy issues are on the money with understanding mind field. There's another aspect.
Hey, what time do you come on Fridays, Ted?
7 o'clock. There's another thing. There's another aspect to this. Because that's why in the beginning I was talking about this woman who measured all men based on what her grandfather did. So a lot of times women they actually believe they're loving you, but they really haven't grown up into a woman. They're still looking to recapture this childhood thing that they experienced with their father or whoever the man was, stepfather, grandfather, and they never grow out of it. So they may have some value to a man, and a man doesn't know how to get her out of that, how to have a conversation. So that's part of what I'm doing here, not just for, like, there are women that are dysfunctional. Yes, you know, three generations. Their mother, grandmother, and great grandmother. Like, none of them had, you know, she didn't have a father. Mother didn't have a father.
I can give you two examples that seem to me of celebrities who have apparent daddy issues. One is Miley Cyrus, and the other one is Ivanka Trump.
Okay.
Have you ever seen pictures of them? Miley Cyrus, when she was, before she became the twerker and the one with the tongue hanging out, she was wrapped up there in her daddy's arms right by his crotch. And Ivanka Trump,
really?
When she was about 15, 16, sitting on Daddy Trump's knee and leaning up against him like she was his girlfriend.
Yeah, lots of people talk about Trump and his daughter. Yeah. I think he said if she wasn't my daughter, I'd date her, something like that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
Trump will
say
whatever.
Yeah, he did say that. Yes, he did say it, too. I remember him playing his date. He said that if she wasn't my daughter, I sure would date her. And he looked like he meant what he said.
Yep. So there are some other things to look for when women have daddy issues. This woman, this psychologist, is saying attachment styles are categorized as being either secure or insecure, with several subtypes of insecure attachment styles, including anxious, preoccupied. People with this attachment style may be anxious, crave closeness, but feel insecure about the partner leaving them. This is what you were talking about, Joe and Ridge, about this being abandoned. They are anxious and preoccupied. Then you have this dismissive avoidance. People with this type may have trouble trusting others for fear that they'll be hurt. You know, you guys were talking about that. Fearful avoidance. People with this type may feel unsure about intimacy and tend to run away from experiencing difficult things. And that's what you were talking about, that Joe, also, right? So then you start sabotaging and doing things that just don't make sense.
That's right, yeah.
Secure attachment styles result from having a caregiver who is responsive to your needs and emotionally available. So that becomes the problem with the woman who grew up without a father in the home, because he wasn't a caregiver who was responsible in there. And emotionally available, because he didn't exist at home. Just becomes worse when a mother doesn't know who the father is. Insecure attachment styles, on the other hand, result from having a caregiver who was unresponsive to your needs and emotionally unavailable, which could be absent also. What might this look like? Secure attachment styles typically develop if your childhood needs were readily met by your caregiver. As you can probably guess, people who have a loving and secure relationship with their caregivers are likely to grow into confident, self-assured adults. And see, this is a problem with all these women that are saying that I can do this on my own are very selfish and really don't care about their children. This goes on to say, these are folks who are likely to have their life together in various aspects, including their close relationships. Their relationships tend to be long-lasting and built on real trust and intimacy. And then there are insecure attachment styles. As Royal already pointed out, some insecure attachment styles could look like daddy issues. She explains that they often appear as being anxious when you aren't with your partner, needing lots of reassurance that your relationship is okay. And listen, the amount of women who are always looking for you to tell them they're beautiful and you love them, like, that just out of control. And it goes on, this also says, seeing any negativity as a sign that the relationship is doomed. And there are a lot of women that do that. I've seen that. They think you're going to tell them you're lost all the time. They're always afraid of that. It isn't just about romantic relationships either. Your relationship with your caregivers and your attachment style will also affect your close relationships, including your friendships. Who's got them? Everyone, it says. Daddy issues aren't just a female thing. It doesn't matter what sex and gender you are assigned at birth or how you identify your relationship, blah, blah, blah. Let's see if that's the case. Why is this concept so gendered? Who knows? How might it affect your choice? So it's saying it can even affect your choice of partners. It's believed that people will gravitate toward the type of relationship they had in the past, even if it was a troubled one. That's interesting. If your relationship with your caregiver was traumatic or disappointing one, you may be more likely to choose a partner who will disappoint you the same way. For some, it's because that was their norm growing up, so this is the type of relationship they think they should have. For others, having a partner that's similar to the parent is an unconscious hope to get that parent's love, right? That's what I was saying. If you haven't dealt with these issues, they can still affect your relationship with a great partner. Insecure attachment styles can lead to behavior that pushes your partner away and creates the disappointing relationship you're expecting based on your previous experiences. What do you guys think of that?
said, I'll reiterate, like you said, children don't love children. So the women who have children in these unstable situations trying to be, I trying to prove something, that just validates what I said. Children don't love other children. They are not concerned about anything else. They're sociopaths. It's all about them. Even if they did love the kid, they was loving the kid with the hope that the kid would love them back. So it's still all about them. They're selfish. They're sociopaths. That's what they are. Natural born sociopaths. They are what they are. They're showing you what they are. Now you know how to deal with them. If you're trying to like save a community or get things back to the way they was, I don't think that's going to happen. Ever.
I beg to differ though.
Okay. We're going to see then.
I beg
as long as you have a government.
I say the government is going to have to look here. One or two things we either have to happen. Either we're going to have to wait until a lot of these women expire and move on, pass on into the afterlife, and this government going to have to exchange hands into another power, or some manual is going to have to be did involuntary. Because the way things looking, it's getting bad out here, Ted. These people start to burn this country to the ground. And I hope and pray it don't get to that. But, like me and Chris said, that's a possibility. That's a highly probability right now. When you brothers agree with me.
And bring Chris in here.
A nice burning is supposed to cleanse the land, right? A nice burning is supposed to cleanse the land. Am I correct?
Yeah, 405, you're live
and
on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Ted?
What's going on, Chris? How are you, man?
Pretty good, man. Yeah, we talked about this the other night. Yeah, the daddy issues, man. And you know, these fathers are scared to put these daughters in their place. And so when they get into the relationship, they expect these dudes to still treat them like the princesses, like their daddies did, you know? Additionally, it didn't used to be a problem because those women understood that if they expected the man to treat them like a princess as their father did, then they had to be of some sort of use or provide some sort of utility to that man. Well, now they think that you're just supposed to treat them like a princess for nothing just because they have a vagina.
Well, one of the things we're also talking about, Chris, is that a lot of because you have women who are like generations of no father, they didn't have a father, their mother didn't, their grandmother didn't, so no one has a clue what a father is like. So what these women do is conjure up what they think a man should be, and they're clueless about it, so they have no idea how to interact with a man. They're just using Disney, they're using movies, books, love stories. And they bring so much confusion because they have all the ideas of what the man is supposed to do based on their imagination, but they don't understand how the relationship works.
Even worse than that, though, Ted, a lot of them have these negative ideas of relationships because they're viewing relationships through their mother's eyes, and they've always seen their mother pick shitty men and have shitty relationships and constantly badmouth men, so they live vicariously through their mother. So their ideas of men are jaded before they even start dating.
Yep, that happens. That's the worst of it, right? Their mother's picking bad men, and then
right. That's why single mothers produce single mothers.
But a lot of times those men have molested them.
Yes. Yes, yes. Sometimes their mother picks boyfriends that have molested them, you know. But even then, when their mother picks the boyfriend that molests them, she doesn't necessarily leave him, you know. Because she'll tell the daughter to shut up. I'm not going to get rid of a good man because you lied and said he touched you or something like that. So the girl ends up running away, you know, and sometimes she becomes a sex worker at a very early age because she has to get out of the home where her mother's boyfriend was molesting her. So the bottom line is like single motherhood is one huge factor that destroys these women at an early age. But somehow the blame always gets put on the man because they can't, you know, they just have this code where they won't go against the mothers. Or no matter what, you know, blame the nearest man.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, the fact is, I mean, I hate to say it, but I heard a statistic the other day that 40% of men won't have children. So 40% of men, just, you know, your DNA is just going to die off with you. You know what I mean? And I see that number rising. I mean, you just have to let these women die alone, man. It's the only, like I told you the other day, women only understand immediate consequences. You can't tell them that something's going to happen to you when you turn 50 or when you turn 40, so you better plan now, because they'll always say, it's not going to happen to me. Oh, I'm too cute for it to happen to me. I'm too pretty for it to happen to me. I'm a bad bitch. It won't happen to me. No, it's going to happen to you because you're no different than the other women. But until it happens to them right away, there has to be immediate consequences for their actions. So you have to leave them alone. Stop fucking them. I tell men all the time, if you want a wife, you know what? Go to South America, find some dirt poor country, get you a little Maria or go to Asia and get you a Sulin, but leave that bitch there. And, you know, get her pregnant, you know, have your children, but keep her there. Buy you a little grass hut there. Don't bring her over here. You know, 2-3 times a year, you take a trip to go see her, and that's it, you know. She'll appreciate you, and trust her, she ain't going to cheat.
Don't count on that, Chris.
I wouldn't count on that, because if you fuck around and go get a Filipino, that bitch gonna be fucking everybody under the sun. But for the most part, yeah, the women over there, you know, set her up a little laptop and, you know, Zoom or whatever, you know. But, you know, go see her, you know, 3-4 times a year. But don't bring her over here. That's if you want a wife, you know. But for God's sake, don't marry an American.
Hey, Chris, did you hear me earlier?
No, I just came in late.
Okay, I've already just given the whole rundown. I said, yeah, have your kids overseas somewhere, set them up. Hey, you can go work here, make your money here, and put them up over there. You can go home once a month or every 2 months. And I said, hey, you have a better chance of having a better relationship with seeing your kids in that situation than being over here and having joint custody or having visitation, and then you got to go to court and fighting to see your kids. You're probably going to see your kids more just doing it that way than being over here. Fight with the kids' mothers,
yep.
to be able to see your kids. You're going to have a better relationship with them and everything.
Yep.
And they gonna, you can put them in the best schools over there. These chicks know that. You might have 2 or 3 chicks willing to do that work together to take care of your kids. And you be on that ass the whole time. You go over there every 2 months of work right here. Go over there, spend 2 weeks straight or 3 weeks. Come back, do what you got to do. Go back again. It'll be all good for you. It'll be all good for you. So
look,
you just
these
get that
women know. These women know as long as they get, you know, attention and sex, that's all they care about. They don't want – we're the ones pushing them to be wise. They don't want to be wise. So telling them they're not going to get married or they're not going to find husbands, they don't care because it's not something they were looking for in the first place. They were only looking for sex and attention. And with the advent of social media, you know, you got OnlyFans, you got TikTok, you got
Twitter,
you know, all these forms of social media where they can get all this attention from. They get that dopamine rush from social media, and then they can get the sex easy. They just go on Tinder, swipe right. They can get fucked in 5 minutes or less. They can get dick faster than they get a pizza.
And I agree with him. I told you, let whores be whores. You don't marry whores, yeah, and you don't breed with whores. But
no,
you enjoy whores.
Whores die out. That's what I say.
Okay, well, that's and we all got our own. We all got our own path and belief to go. Like I said, let whores be whores. You don't marry whores. You don't breed with whores. But you enjoy.
The problem is most men don't have the discipline to do what it takes to right this ship. And the only way it's got to be done is it's going to take the vast majority of men. I mean, I don't understand why men are even giving them attention anyway. They're only fucking the top 20% of men. So if you're in the bottom 80% of men, why are you in their DMs? Why are you telling them, you know, they look good or giving them any kind of attention? No, ignore that bitch. Ignore that bitch. Walk right by her. You know you're not in the top 20% of men. Let's be real. I know I'm not. I can admit it.
Right.
Well, Chris, if
I'm not in the top 20% of men, why am I going to waste my time with these bitches? It's futile.
Well, you know, attention to them hoes is currency. I mean, I see women all the time. I got an elderly, she's 67 now. When I did hit her back in the day in L.A., she's a bad woman, so she's accustomed to having that type of attention. I mean, she's an older lady. She kept herself up, but she'd be posting pictures all the time, looking all good. It's gray hair, you know. But I'm just looking at it like, she got to have that attention. She got to have that validation. She got
to
have it.
Attention is currency to them.
Hey, you know
you
what,
have
Chris?
To touch them up.
What's up,
big
guy?
Hey, what's up, dog?
Hey, you know, and I say this to Chris, and I hope I ain't, you know, nobody take this the wrong way, but when the internet go out, a lot of this crowd are not going to lose their mind, Chris, when the internet go there. But me, I still know how to do old school survival stuff. So I'm good. I'm old enough to remember before I even had it in there, my mom and dad house. So
that's going to
be the best
earlier?
Thing that's going to happen. The power grid going to happen. That's going to be the best thing that's going to happen to them.
They don't care because it's not something that's happening right now, so they don't think it's going to happen. Remember, women naturally stand at the finish line and wait to fuck the first man crossing. You know, they wait to fuck the winners, right? That's actually what they do, you know, because of hypergamy. But these women, because of that, they don't see the consequences of any of their actions. They don't see how, they don't understand that man across the finish line may say, well, wait a minute, you weren't with me at the start of the race. You weren't with me even mid-race, handing me a cup of Gatorade and trying to motivate me to keep going. So now that I've crossed the finish line, I don't want you.
Right.
They don't understand that. They always think that, okay, I can stand on the finish line, and once he crosses, he'll be happy to have me. So you're saying when the internet goes down, what are they going to do? Or when society, what are they going to do? They don't care because they don't think that far ahead.
No, actually,
I'm on the same page with you.
No, they actually have thought that far ahead. They've actually thought even further than that. And here's what they said.
No, we have. They haven't. They don't care.
No, you have to hear what I'm going to say. They've thought further than that. Here's what they say. You guys can be angry. You can walk away. But you know what? Eventually, you're going to need a woman, and you're going to come back. Angry or not.
No, it's going to be the other way around.
Listen, you have to understand what they are saying. It doesn't matter what you think about it. This is what they are saying
right
out of your mouth. That
no, I believe you. I believe you. I believe
eventually you will come back is what they're saying. The other thing that men, you know, yes, you don't want to take him out. You don't want to give him attention. But the real thing is you need to choke off money. You need to stop giving him jobs. You need to stop subscribing to their food. You have to choke off money.
Yeah, I agree. You have to choke off the money. But, you know, regardless of how much money you choke off, the government will just give them money and then tax us. I'm looking at California. So in California, The men had stopped dating the women, right? The men had stopped dating women, stopped getting married, and as a result, more and more women were becoming dependent on the state for assistance, right? So what did the state do to recoup that money? The state knew that all these men had stopped dating women, and they had started to invest in hobbies. They started buying toys. They started buying sports cars. So what did the state do? They put taxes on these sports cars. They made it illegal to modify these sports cars in any form of fashion because they knew that once this man bought the sports car, well, he's going to want to make it faster. So, oh, you want that that louder exhaust on your car? We're going to fine you $1,000 for that now. You wanted a cold air intake on that car? Well, that's aftermarket. We're going to fine you $1,000 for that. So they were doing all these little sneaky things, and it was just a tax to pay for. It was a pussy tax. It was a tax to make men pay for all the women that were on state assistance. So that's what happens when men start giving money. And eventually, you know what the men said? Eventually, the men said, you know what? Fuck it. I don't want this sports car that bad. They sent them all back to the dealership, and they start buying electric cars. They start buying little four-cylinders. Some even moved out of the state. But did it stop? Did it make California take that tax away? No. They still have that tax. They just don't have the men there to tax it. And as a result, since the men aren't there, you know what happened? There's an extreme rise in the homeless population of women in the state of California. There's one kid on TikTok, and he never shows his face, but his name is like the homeless teenager or something. Him and his mother live in a Fiat because they're homeless. He won't show his mother, and he won't show his face, but they live in a Fiat. Now, let me tell you how big a Fiat is. Look at your computer desk, Ted. That's how big a damn Fiat is.
Wow, you kidding me.
But that's
I ain't even can you in imagine a shotgun house.
Sleeping
that's
in
crazy.
Can you imagine sleeping in that? A two-door car
with
no back seat that's tiny?
That's
crazy.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying to you. I got it. They can tax. But you know what? In the end, the women are losing.
Oh, yeah. They're going to lose. Here's why they'll always lose. Because men are problem solvers. They were never designed to solve problems. We were. So when you try to go up against, like I said, we were built for war. You can't go up, you know, wage war against someone that's been battle-tested and expect to win. Men have been battle-tested since the beginning of time. You can't wage war against us and expect to win. It's not going to happen. We're willing to lose a few battles to win the war.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
The problem started by giving them jobs.
No, the problem started with giving them rights.
Well, they always had rights, and they were actually been more protected than men have ever been.
Right. They didn't have the right to vote, though.
But you all got it. Their right to vote literally means nothing. And it's hard for people to see that because the more you understand that the popular vote doesn't make the laws in this country, Princeton did a 20-year study on that. It doesn't matter what women want. Unless they put money together, see, as long as they have jobs and they have access to capital, they can create a PAC and put money together and work the system. They have money.
These corporations are putting money behind them.
Some of them are.
And they're putting money. They're going to the government for them. So they have advocates for them, but nobody's advocating for men like they do for them.
Women work in the companies, and they buy products. They have money. They sit as single mothers, and they buy stuff. You better believe all that government keys and all the things that women get on welfare, corporations are winning. They're winning with that stuff.
I believe it. Yes, they are. And look at what Sonya Smith said. She's absolutely right. Do you know how many women are in do you know how many women they fast track to management in the government?
Right. And they're incompetent. And they know it.
Yeah. Oh no, well you can't let them, if you let them talk, they all deserve it. And there are even some men who are, you know, it's it's frustrating because there are even some men who will still say, well, yeah, she deserves it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, what about that the men who she got the position over who had 10 more years experience than her? You know, you got guys who started out turning wrenches and, you know, they were in the mud. And, you know, for years, you know, then all of a sudden here she comes, even with no degree now. See, they used to have to have a degree. Now they don't even have to have a degree. But here they come, and within 5 years, they're already management. Meanwhile, that guy's still stuck in the mud.
One of the big problems that I'm assuming is the fathers of a lot of these women is what really was the problem. So when these women were, so if you think of it this way, 1960s, your daughter doesn't want to get married because she likes girls. So if your daughter goes and gets a job as a secretary or some low-paying job and she wants to be with another girl, daddy is going to supplement her lifestyle.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was better to have her help pass some laws to help, you know, daddy, you're a senator, you're a CEO, you know, I've got myself and a whole bunch of women. Either you help us pass this law or you'll be funding, you know, you'll be financing my life for, you know, till you die. So help me out, daddy. So you had a small group of women who wanted to have a marriage to be married to another man. So this wasn't a men thing because look at Hoover of the FBI. He had a live-in lover who was a guy. And that's what a lot of guys could do that before. They would just say they were roommates. They could be lovers. But for women, and so with Hoover, his man stayed home, and Hoover made plenty of money to support the lifestyle. They had that role, like, you know, the male-female, stay-at-home dude. But for two women to do that, it was very difficult. That's what – this has been a whole push to have women be able to marry and raise families, but they had to have the economics. They didn't have it before. So if you get your daddy, who's the CEO, and his buddies who are CEOs to support you, and if they had daughters, it's like, daddy, look, I don't want to get married. I'm just going to leave the guy anyway. You know, when I actually saw something exactly like that when I lived with the Mayans in Belize. The guy had a daughter who said, I don't want to get married. And she stayed home. She was 22, and usually, you know, women were married by then. And she said, if you make me marry that man, I'm going to run away and come back home anyway. So he gave in and let her stay home and is supporting her. So some guys.
Yeah, that's what I said. Most men are scared of their daughters. And it used to be, you know, they were responsible for their daughters until their daughters got husbands. And then it was understood that once their daughters left their homes, they would pick a man who was completely financially responsible for them. You know, if she needed her car fixed, no, he would fix it. If she needed protection, you know, he would do it. But now these men are such pussies that they're raising these daughters who don't respect them. So they don't care, you know. They don't have to make wise decision makings in a mating, because daddy will just pay for it. And these men are pussy enough to do it. These men are pussies. I'm sorry. And most of these men with daughters are pussies.
A lot of them are. But you know, it's funny. Their wives play that traditional role. So, I'm asserting that this was really a lot of cats who had women who typically would have gotten married, even though they liked girls, they would have gotten married and played with girls while their husband was at work, But I'm saying that some of those women didn't want to do that anymore. They wanted to be able to go make their own money and say, I got my own, and get married. And in the 60s, they didn't have enough women who wanted to marry another woman. So they pushed this whole movement onto all women, heterosexual women, to support them. But this was really about women getting married to other women. That's why I say it wasn't even men to marry. It was about women wanting to marry other women, and they didn't have enough women to support them. But at some point,
yeah, I agree. Yeah, the lesbians didn't have. The lesbians were too ugly to attract a woman, or there weren't enough women lesbians, so they had to start a smear campaign. You know, oh, look at these men. These men are oppressing you. You know, you need to leave them. You know, down with the patriarchy, this and that. And it was just so the butchers back then could have access to more women.
Big exclusive. Go ahead.
Like I said, the women back then, they didn't feel oppressed. You know, them being, you know, stay-at-home wives and mothers, they weren't oppressed. No, they wanted to be stay-at-home wives and mothers. That gave them joy.
Yep.
But then you have these butch bitches who and that's why lesbianism, it was considered, back then it was considered a mental illness.
Some circles, and still, in some circles it still is, Chris.
Yeah, and I wouldn't argue against it.
Honestly, there's some circles they say it can be managed through mental. Someone asked, what about the mothers in that situation? Would the mothers tolerate daughter running back home in that situation? Well, I think you're asking in general, right? And that's a good question. What did the mothers think of that? You know, talking to the husband, honey, let her go. But what do you do? I don't know. Good question. When I lived with Mayans, the mother of the family was the only one who didn't speak English. So I don't know what she thought of that. But I spoke to the father about it, and he was like, you know, what can I do? He had several daughters. He had a bunch of daughters, actually, maybe like six. One was married. He had a 19-year-old. And here's what's interesting, Chris. So he had a 25-year-old daughter married. 23 and 22 were not married. The 23-year-old was ugly. The 22-year-old was okay. With the 19-year-old, she was very pretty. And she was about to get married. And then he had an 18-year-old son and then some smaller kids. So he was, you know, his two big daughters, 22 and 23, were actually a drain to the household. What they did do is they helped the mother a lot. They were a little bit kind of like mean stepsisters. they were kind of mean. They were more mean than the mother was, from what I saw. I don't know why they didn't want to get married. The ugly one, I don't know if it was, I don't know. Because the mother was fairly attractive, so I don't know how they ended up with an ugly one.
Maybe the mother stepped out when the daddy was out hunting one day.
I know. I thought about that. But the 19-year-old was very pretty, very pretty.
But generally speaking, most mothers, like you said, mother wife role. So they're not going to go against the father, because by then they're so old. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, when they're 50 or 60 years old, they're not going to get a divorce, because then they know they can't financially provide for themselves.
Exactly.
So they're going to go along with whatever the father says. And usually that man, you know, he's a pussy, so he's going to do whatever to kiss the ass of the daughter. But here's the thing. They don't hold the son to the same standards, you know. They'll let the boy fail. They'll let the boy go homeless. They'll let whatever happened to the boy. But that daughter, oh, no, he's got a cut for his daughter.
Well, mothers actually had more influence. And this is the part that women try to ignore. Even if you go back 200 years, wives were influencing their husbands in voting, and how, and they influenced their husbands for a lot of things. They didn't have to vote. They influenced. They were married to politicians. They were married to businessmen. They had behind the scenes influence, and that hasn't gone away, actually.
No, I believe that. I believe that. I believe they still have a lot of influence even to this day. Hell, 50 was the last elected seat.
Say that again. I didn't hear what you said.
I said I believe that, particularly with this last election. You know, a lot of them were telling their husbands, you know, and sons to not vote for Trump.
Yeah, I mean, women didn't need to vote. If they were married to men, policymakers, they didn't need to vote because they could influence him at home. And even if she was going to nag him about it, she really did.
Yeah.
The women who say women had, when you hear women say that women had no rights, no. If you were married to someone who had no power, that's what you're talking about, and that's what most women were married to. So women who qualified for men with power actually had influence. And that's always been the case. Even if you go to Greece and women were property. But, you know, and if you think about Greece, a lot of men, most men went into the military. So when they were away, their wives were at home running the household. A lot of people forget about that also.
Right.
And so even when you think about, and this is where women have tried to push back on me. So if you're married to a man who's got a high-level job and he goes to work, who's running the house? So, you know, it was never that women didn't have rights and no power. They were running the household. But the father he set the policies and the pace for the way things are going to happen here. And if they're not happening, he's going to have a huge problem with that. And he's going to correct it. He's going to check his woman. I think more than 100 years ago, men were allowed to put their wives over their knee and spank them if she was acting up. So we've got
Men only stepped in when there was an order in the house.
Right.
As long as the woman was running the house and there was a level of order, he didn't feel the need to step in. He let her handle it.
Exactly.
It was when things turned to chaos that he told her, okay, this is enough. Time to right this ship. And he would step in, put things back in order, and then give her back the reins.
Now take that, Chris, and marry it to the topic tonight, daddy issues. If a woman has never had a father in the home, she has no idea what that looks like. All she knows is chaos, and there's no man to bring order out of chaos. There's no emotional rock, you know. There's no emotional stability. It's just a bunch of women, and then you have your aunts and if you have other sisters and you have grandmothers, and it's just chaos, and it's just seen as normal. That's like that article I was reading by the psychologist. If you grow up with that, then you think this. You think it's normal, and you have no way. It's like I say before, if you only speak English, that's your normal language. So if you only lived in a house with chaos, that's just the language of chaos is normal to you. So her daddy issues, she's going to have an imagination that the father would have been weak and couldn't do anything and would have let the chaos continue, or he would have been some imaginary fairy who is going to, in a feminine way, get rid of the chaos, but she has no idea what masculinity looks like. And so she's really going to have a lot of conflicts around masculinity. So her daddy issues are going to be warped, very warped.
I agree with you. I agree. They've been allowed to run amok so long that they don't understand what it means for a man to understand that they've run amok and establish order or reestablish order. And and then put them in their place. And then, you know, like I said, they turn 18 and they're out in the free world and they're creating all these problems that they were creating at home in society.
Yep,
and
right.
Taxpayers have to suffer for it.
And no one said anything at home, so why is some man trying to say something to me? And the feminazis have convinced them that when a man brings order, he's just controlling misogynists who hates women.
Right, right. You know, what do you mean you're telling her that she has to bring something to the table when her father didn't even make her do chores when she was a kid? Her
right.
father didn't make her, you know, do the dishes. Her father didn't make her, you know, wash clothes or do anything. So she was never, she never had to bring anything to the table as a kid. So why are you telling her she has to do it as an adult? She works just like you did.
That's interesting. Right. So she's playing a man's role, just like you did.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why I said, you know, there's only one solution. Just let them die alone. Nothing you can say can convince them. You can't talk to them. You can't negotiate with a terrorist. Just let them die alone.
See, what you laid out in California is what I'm getting at. That's how they would die alone, on the street.
Yeah. Those tent cities are popping up everywhere. It's, you know, it's they don't know because like I said, because they don't have the foresight to see what's things coming. They don't know to move, you know, when the moving's good. So usually it's all the men that pack up and move, and they're left there because, oh, well, you know, they'll just get it from the government. Well, when the government runs dry, then they have to, you know, that's when they get evicted and they move into tent cities. And they find out, you know, shit ain't sweet. But meanwhile, those men that they were trying to extort have moved to other states, moved to states where the cost of living is cheaper, and, you know, they're starting to thrive again, and they may have rebought those sports cars that they were once taxed out of.
Exactly, exactly. I want to share another psychologist's perspective on these daddy issues. This guy is pretty good. You guys know him.
Carl Jung talked about this phenomena. He cried, phenomenon. Described as retrogressive restoration of the persona. And so it's a complicated idea, but basically what it means is that sometimes you take a leap forward and you learn some things, but you can't catalyze a new identity. So you try to go back and hide in your old identity. And that actually doesn't work because, well, things have changed and you've learned something and that isn't who you are anymore. And so it's like you have to cut parts of yourself off in a destructive manner to fit back into the person that you were. Now, what happens here is that Pinocchio escapes from this tyrannical situation and undergoes this descent into chaos, but he tries to go back home. He tries to go back to what he was, and he can't do that anymore. His father isn't at home anymore.
So this is part of what I was talking about, is you can't go back. Oh, these women, it's almost like they don't realize they can't go back to being a little girl. And so they want to have this relationship with the man the same way they had a relationship with their daddy. So this is if they had a father in the home. This is where it becomes really dysfunctional, because if they didn't have one, they're still going back to childhood and relating to how they believe they would have had a relationship with their father. But when they did have one, in either case, it's like the woman doesn't grow up. She doesn't understand. She still has a child's understanding of love and caring, with or without a father. So it's like he's saying, she ends up going back in time, and here she is 25, 35 years old, still acting like a five-year-old in a relationship with her father. Daddy issues.
Right. I have a buddy that I was that I used, that I served with, it, that he, his daughter, once she turned, you know, 18, she went off to college or whatever. Well, she had so little respect for him that she would sneak boys back home into his house and, you know, be having sex with him while he was home, you know, in her bedroom. And
wow.
So one time, you know, he caught her and he starts to fight the little boy. I'm like, wait a minute. Why are you fighting a boy?
Right.
They're both adults. And she chose to have sex with him in her room. How did he do anything wrong? Like, man, but what he was upset about is he opened her bedroom door and he sees this boy nailing his princess. Like, so these girls, when they get older, they don't pick men that are responsible or whatever because they've always got daddy. Daddy is, they want a safety net, right? So they don't want to be responsible for any decision that they make, you know? So they always need a safety net. And that their daddy becomes a safety net because her, you know, here she is banging all these Pookies and Ray Rays, you know, her car breaks down. What does she do? Daddy, I need my car fixed. Well, why didn't you make sure that all those boys that you were opening your legs to going to pick up, driving around in your car, why didn't you make sure one of them was at least able to fix your car if it broke down? Because she had daddy.
Right. But then
and if
when
they don't have daddy, if they grow up in a single mother household, then daddy is the government. So
right.
why aren't they responsible? You know, it's because they've got daddy or the government.
But even when they do grow up with their father, they're still expecting it as an adult. They're still expecting to be coddled like a child the way their father did. And that's a problem also.
Yeah.
All I can say,
they
Chris,
do.
Is boys wasn't coddled, so the women don't need to be coddled.
Right, and it's funny because if you talk to women, even women, if you just sit down and you talk to them, you ask them, which would you rather have, a daughter or a son? Every last one of them will say a son.
Right.
Because a boy is easier to raise. Every last one of them.
That's why
I laugh when they try to say that, you know, men are so toxic and, you know, boys are, you know, men are such problems, blah, blah, blah. But when given a choice, they'd much rather be around men and much rather raise a boy.
Absolutely. Let's see what else he says about this.
And so when he goes home, he finds that there's no home there. Now, this happens to people sometimes, and it's often a shock to them. So one of the things I've noticed about Peter Pan type, I'm going to speak about men here because I've observed it more in men, is that they'll often stay under the thumb of their father. And you think, well, why would someone do that? Because it means they're subject to the tyrannical judgment of their father. They're always concerned about what their father would think or whether their father approves of them, and so forth. And you think, well, that's got to be an unpleasant place to be. Why would you do that? One of the things that I've suggested to my clients and to other people sometimes is that here's a weird little exercise that you can undertake, a little thought experiment. So you have your parents, and of course your parents have friends who are about their age, and maybe some of them are people you only know peripherally. And I might ask you, well, do you care more about what your parents think than you care about what these peripheral people who know your parents think? And then the answer to that is, well, of course. And then the question that arises out of that is, why? I mean, for someone else, your parents are the peripheral people, and their parents are central. Like, why is it logical that your parents makes any more difference to you than the opinion of some randomly selected people who are approximately that age? Why is it the case that you would consider that they would know more than someone else? I mean, I know they know you better, and fair enough, but that's not the point. And then another point there is that to the degree that your parents' opinion about you matters more than some randomly selected people of approximately the same age, Jung would say, well, you haven't exactly separated out the God image from your parents, and so you're still under that combination. It's like, it's a complicated thing to talk about, but think about the Harry Potter series. Harry has two sets of parents, right? He's got the Dursley parents, and then he's got these like magical parents that sort of float behind, and he should know the difference between them. They shouldn't be one and the same. They're not for him. And it's like, well, you have your parents and you have nature and culture as parents, and you shouldn't be thinking that your parents are nature and culture as well. You shouldn't have final dominion over you. It means that you're not an individual yet, if that's the case. Freud said, for example, that no one could be a man unless his father had died. And Jung said, yes, but that death can take place symbolically. Okay, so there's that part of the idea. And then another part of the idea is, one of the times in your life when you actually realize that you're an individual is when you'll go and ask your parents something and you'll realize they actually don't know any more about what you should do than you do. And that sucks. And that's partly why people are often willing to maintain a tyrant-slave relationship with their fathers. Like, on the one hand, you have to be inferior in a relationship like that. You know, you've always got the judge watching you. But on the other hand, there's always someone who knows what to do. There's always someone standing between you and the unknown that you can go ask, what should I do? Well, at some point, you'll realize that the reason you can't ask that anymore is because they actually don't know any more than you do. And then that's a pain. Like, that is a symbolic death. And that's also when you establish a more individual relationship with your parents. It's at that point that you could conceivably start taking care of them instead of the reverse.
See, this is where if your woman grows up without a father, she makes up this imaginary sort of God image. I mean, it's from what Jordan Peterson is saying and Jung and Freud, that at some point people idealize their parents as like gods. They have all the answers and they protect me. And then at some point you grow up and find out that your parents don't have all the answers, and their answers for your problems, you know, when you're an adult are just as good as yours and maybe not as good in some cases. So if there's no one there, then what you get is this woman who has this imaginary God figure, and that's where you start getting these things like 6'2", six figures, six pack, and all these imagined what a God figure father would be like. And then they start dropping all these responsibilities, like you're supposed to pay my bills and you're supposed to do all these things for me. Like these are daddy issues, and they've never ever experienced a father. And then on the other side, what I was saying before is that she never actually grows up. So if she didn't have a father, she doesn't grow out of it. She's just still living with this imaginary God figure of her father, and she always gets to be this kid, and daddy's going to have the answers. But yet this is kind of imposed on you as the sort of surrogate father that, you know, she's looking for you to be for her because she never had one.
Yeah.
And she grew up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why they have such a hard problem with paying bills when they're in a relationship. They don't think they're supposed to pay any bills because their father never made them pay any bills. So they don't understand that they're supposed to pay bills and help build generational wealth for the children instead of just give her a free ride.
Right. So they can make up in their head what they think their father would have done. My daddy would have given me allowance to go shopping because I'm a princess, and that's what fathers do for their princess. And it's like, well, you never actually had that experience, did you? Well, maybe I didn't, but I think that's what my daddy would have done, and he would have loved me.
Yeah, right, so right.
They get to make up any rule they want. So they've got these it's kind of like they have imaginary daddy issues. Like they've made this man who doesn't exist, and they made him 6'2", six figures, you know, six pack, and whatever else they get.
Yeah,
to make.
Superpowers.
Right, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
He's a CEO and a drug dealer.
That's perfect. Exactly. I forgot about that. Right. He's a CEO who sits in a boardroom, and he's a drug dealer at night.
Right.
Don't forget, he's a pimp too. So you know, he put mama in.
Yeah, he's a pimp, and if you get online, he's a gangbanger that will have no problem shooting you. Yeah.
Right. So
we got the possibility of that, though, gentlemen. That's real slim, those type of dudes out here. Those are real slim type of dudes they making up.
Kendrick, they don't exist. It's not slim. They don't exist.
I mean, just to theoretically say, but the odds
it's not real
CEO
slim. They don't exist.
You know what I mean?
These are fallacies.
CEO being a drug dealer by night. You know what I mean? What are the odds though, Chris?
No, it doesn't
you know
exist.
What, I'm
yeah. what he's saying to you, it doesn't exist. Because that father position is empty, she gets to fill it in with whatever she wants and then defend it as being right. What the problem is, she's not telling the man who she's talking to that's her daddy issue and that she's looking for a man to fill what she anticipated her father would have done, and he would have treated me like a princess. He would have given money for shopping. I would have had no bills. He would have had superpowers. He would have been a freak with my mama. He would have been in a boardroom. He would have, you know, had sex. All this stuff. That
goofy stuff.
You have to understand, Kendrick. This. They made this reality in their mind.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. This is who they really think that their father would be, and so that their man should be like that.
Exactly. I want a man just like my daddy.
Just like their daddy. And you look at their birth certificate, and beside daddy, it's blank.
Right. I understand that. So they're filling the void with an imaginary person. So if they have cousins or friends that have a father at home, and they hear those women say, well, my father did this and my daddy did, you know, you actually hear the stories that these little girls feel bad when they hear that. So the reality, what a lot of girls do is make up stuff and say, well, my daddy does this with me and that, and it doesn't happen. I've heard these stories too many times about little girls making up stories about what they do with their father because their friends at school have fathers at home. So I hate to use the word compete, but it's to not be left out of the conversation. So they start making imaginary fathers as little girls. So by the time they are an adult, you know, he's got all the same superpowers that he had when she was a little girl. And Kendrick, I understand you're calling it goofy, but for her, she now takes all that imaginary stuff and imposes it on a man she's interested in and is saying, these are the shoes you have to fill. I want a man just like my daddy. Except he never tells you, though.
So they just assume and expect you to be this imaginary man. That's crazy.
Yeah, but it's very surreal to them. It's how they are. And that's exactly what
they get. You just gave me a new outlook on some things. Because, I ain't really just delve that deep, Chris, into the psychology and the mentality of some of these women like that. But you making some sense with it.
But you have to understand, Kendrick, if they do have their father at home, that's what they're doing anyway. So they're taking their real father and saying, well, my father did all these things, and I think that's what it means for a man to love a woman. So, one, she doesn't grow up to be a woman. She's still a little girl, and she has a little girl's interpretation. So if my father went to work every day, or when I was in Clubhouse and a woman was saying, well, my grandfather, he researched stuff, he learned, he understood things by studying and learning. He was a self-learned man. So for her, that may have provided security because she learned things from her grandfather. It might have made her feel good that being around my granddaddy makes me smarter, I'm safe, I'm comfortable. There are these feel-good moments that she has, and she believes love. Like, so she doesn't understand what kind of man you have to be to do that. She just knows if you do those things, you do what my granddaddy did, then that means you love me. And so when she meets a man who doesn't do those things, she may think, you don't love me, therefore I don't want to be around you. You don't do the things that I know, that I relate to good feelings, and those feelings mean love. So you get what I'm saying, Kendrick?
In a sense, yes. I'm catching on slowly but steadily. It's almost like they trying to compare you and relate you to their granddaddy. That's what you just said.
Yeah, they're trying to make you him. They're expecting you to be him.
Okay.
Like and they are comparing you, and when you're not being him, then they may not think you love them. So in other words, they don't care who you are. They just care if you're doing what my father or grandfather did. So they actually never get to know you. And it was interesting, guys, because when I was in Clubhouse, at first the other men were having a difficult time with what I was saying, that there are women out there who just want you to play the role, do the same thing your fathers did. And I said, you don't understand that these women don't love you. They just want you to do these things. They think that's love, and they don't believe they have to do anything because they didn't have to do anything with their father or grandfather. He did everything. And they were having a difficult time. So one guy said, well, I understand what Ted is saying, because he said he used to be married. He's divorced. And the reason why he got divorced is because his ex-wife expected him to be exactly like her father, and he never measured up. So as you were saying, Kendrick, but she was comparing him to her father, and he didn't measure up. And he said what his experience was is that his wife never got to know him. She didn't care about him. She just needed the feel-good moments. She needed him to supply the same feel-good moments that her father did. When he didn't, she was disappointed, he didn't measure up, and she wanted a divorce. And this is way more common than people realize.
It is. It's too common. And you cannot spend no long-term lifetime with nobody that's messed up like that yet. It's almost humanly impossible. You know what I'm saying? These people need help. They need some professional help.
They do. They do need to get talked out of where they are, right? Because this really does happen. And when we're talking about whether the father's there or not, it's like Jordan Peterson is saying, they have a godlike belief about their father. And so they have these expectations. And so, as he just said just now, once you find out that your father doesn't have more answers than you do for your problems in life, it's a tough position to be in. Because as long as your father has the answers, you don't have to be responsible. So imagine if you have to make up a father, you just imagine him because he was never there. He's always going to have the answers. Like you'll never get to the point with what Jordan Peterson is saying now, that you find out your father doesn't have the answers. So there's this, you now become an adult to your parents. You finally see they're not the gods that you thought they were. And when the father is not there, you can perpetually keep him a god as this, imagined person that never existed anywhere in the universe. Because he's the drug dealer and a CEO and all these other things. So he's got, let's see what else he says.
And that's a time that should come, but you have to let that image of perfection go, and that exposes you. Well, that's what happens here. Pinocchio goes home, and he wants things to be the way they were, and he wants to stay under the careful care of the benevolent father, but that's no longer possible. He's past that point, and that's why the father has disappeared. And so Geppetto has gone off to look for Pinocchio because he also needs the son, but in any case, the house is abandoned. And so then we see inside the house, everything's covered with cobwebs and everything's gone, and Pinocchio and the cricket sit on the steps and they're very concerned. First of all, they wonder where he went, so they're actually concerned that he's gone, but they also don't know what to do because there's just no going home. And so, you know, that's also the case that once you hit a certain point in your development, well, it's the same thing we already talked about. The answers that you're looking for are not going to be found in your parents' house. It's as simple as that. Now, you could artificially maintain your dependency, but, you know, if you do that for too long, things get pretty ugly. So you get pretty stale and you know, you're like bread that's been on the shelf for too long. So now they're wondering what to do and where he could be. And then something very strange happens. The star shows up again, and it turns into a dove, and the dove flies down and puts a piece of paper bathed in light with bold writing on it in front of the cricket and the puppet. So what in the world's going on there? Well, we know what the star is. We've seen it multiple times, right? It's also the place that the blue fairy came from. But it's this transcendent place. It's this place that occurs sort of as the ultimate ideal. And this time it delivers a message. So what's happening here is that Pinocchio is fundamentally oriented by the wish that his father made so long ago, right? And the wish was that he would become a fully functioning individual. And so that's that transcendent place. And Jung would say, when you orient your vision, different things appear to you in the world. So, and I mean this literally. So because you can't see everything, your vision calculates what's necessary, your brain calculates what's necessary for you to see so that you get to the point that you're aiming at. And I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean it literally. Things that aren't relevant to what you're seeking, you won't see them unless they get in your way. And they have to really block your pathway before they'll be literally visible. So you orient yourself towards something, and that makes some things visible that wouldn't be visible and makes other things invisible that you might have seen. And so when you change your orientation, what manifests itself in the world also changes. Now,
you guys, listen to what you just said. So if your aim, if a woman's aim is to get to some place with a man, and the man is saying, I don't like your behavior, it's almost like she can't hear him because that has nothing to do with what she wants, is really what he's getting at there. And this has been a huge problem with women in the U.S. They have this ideal about what men are supposed to be doing, and men are saying, well, this isn't working, this is what we need. And it's like women are ignoring that because that has nothing to do with what they want. So very interesting.
Pinocchio is in despair here, and he asks himself, where could my father have gone? And so the question is, what exactly is he asking under those circumstances? And what he's asking is something like, I had a structure that was orienting me properly in relationship to the world. And as far as it was embodied in my actual father, it's now gone. Is there any possibility that I can find that again? And that is what you want. You see, like if you're in a chaotic circumstance, maybe you escaped, let's say, from a bad relationship.
Hey, Chris, that's what you're talking about, like probably bringing order out of chaos, right? And so, you know.
Exactly.
Women, and that's what he's even talking here about Pinocchio being in chaos and looking for his father to get him out of that chaos. So there are women who are looking for men to bring order out of chaos, but at the, it's almost like they've got multiple personalities because they've also been told if a man brings order out of chaos, he's controlling. So that puts women in so much conflict with themselves.
Right, and they only want to be brought out of the chaos just because they're – it's not because they want order. It's just because they're incapable of establishing that order, and they want to be brought out of chaos. They want the slate clear so they can do it again, right? Because they can't, you pile chaos on top of chaos, and it's just going to lead to self-destruction for them. So what they want is, okay, you reestablish that order. Now everything's right in their life. Now they're free to do whatever they want, and they know that their decisions are just going to bring more chaos.
And daddy will save you. So when you have a father.
That's daddy's job in their mind. That's daddy's job. Daddy is supposed to always save them.
Right. Right. He's a superhero. He's got,
right.
He's got about 2 minutes in this. Let's see.
Something like that. And you're out of it, but now you don't know what to do. What you're, say, from a bad relationship or something like that, and chaotic circumstance, maybe you escaped, let's say, from a bad relationship or something like that, and you're out of it, but now you don't know what to do. What you're hoping is that you can get your life back together, right? That you can put the pieces that have fallen apart back together. And so you're automatically going to generate a fantasy about producing another, let's call it, stable state. You're going to be looking for the spirit that would enable that stable state to be generated. Because really what it is, in some sense, is your new personality. You're in chaos. You have to become something new in order to get out of chaos. And so you're hoping for that. You're hoping that you'll see it. And so that's going to make certain things visible to you. That's the proper way of thinking about it. You know, when you get curious about something, and you're curious about something and you walk into a bookstore, that curiosity is going to guide you to a certain set of books. The fact that you have the question in mind is going to open your eyes to certain kinds of possibilities. And so if your goal is to reestablish your union with the positive father, let's say, then certain things are going to appear and other things aren't. And that's really what this represents. The transcendent star is the goal, which is this developmental process. It's capable of, let's say, delivering a message to you. In some sense, that's what's happening when you're thinking, you know, because you have a problem you want to solve. You have somewhere you want to go with your thoughts. And as a consequence of that, information reveals itself to you in the interior landscape. A very strange thing. You know, in some sense, it feels as if you're producing the thoughts, but it could equally be said that you're watching the thoughts reveal themselves. And which of those is the more accurate description is by no means obvious. You can certainly have thoughts that surprise you, which is very strange. It's like, they're your thoughts. How in the world can they surprise you? But they do. So it's like you didn't know them before you thought them up. And then the question is, well, where did they come from if you didn't know them before you thought them up? And they sort of spring out of the void.
So a solution, Chris, is to let them take themselves down chaos by themselves. And this is, I know people think it's just some sort of joke. Let women have their own island, and they can make chaos over and over again, and they can have all the imaginary fathers who are going to save them, and they can be princesses, but they will be in perpetual chaos. And if they are left there, perhaps that's the way that they'll come to a realization of things that have always been in front of them, and they discard it. Or at least
right.
let them create their own female-only Fortune 500s. They will also experience chaos in that very much.
Right. But what's going to happen is their decisions will if the government doesn't step in to help them and no man steps in to help them, the decisions they make will kill them long before that, long before they get to the point where they realize that they're responsible for all the chaos in their lives. The decisions they make on a day-to-day basis will kill them long before that. And that's why I say, you know, when I say let them die alone, I mean just leave them to their own devices. You don't have to do anything to them. They're incapable of making sound decisions on their own because logic and reason just isn't in them. So when I say let them die alone, I mean just leave them to their own devices. They let them be culpable for whatever fucked up decision they make.
Also, what I'm getting at is they're not the most efficient workers. So start putting the most efficient workers in the workplace. If we're going to be globally competitive, we need the best people in the workplace, not people who take 50% more sick leave, not people who take more breaks, not people who feel bad because their menstrual cycle, and I understand that's natural, but that the workplace corporations should not have to suffer because of your biology. They don't take the kinds of risks men take. That's why they won't put their own capital on the line. They look for daddy to do it. That's how we got in this situation. I'm asserting is that there's too many women looked for daddy to pass laws and make pave a way for them that they couldn't have done on their own. So they couldn't build companies. Instead of saying we want jobs in a male company started by men, they could have just founded their own companies and competed. They could have competed against General Motors and Ford, and they could have made jeans and toys and air conditioners and built houses. They could have done all that stuff. That means they would have been 100% responsible for their decisions, and they didn't want that. They went back to daddy to have the answers for them and the capital.
Do you know now they have they moved the maternity leave from, you know, once they give birth. It used to be, what, I think like 2 weeks or something like that. It's now 3 months.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So that's 3 months that you're going to lose this worker. You're going to lose part of your workforce, and that part of your workforce is expected to keep up with the same raises and the same pay as people who are still working during that time.
Well,
even though they're going to be behind on all the new policies that you've implemented, any new technological advances that you've had in that 3 months, they're going to be behind on everything, including production. But they're going to expect to keep up with the same pay as those who stay there.
Well, and then the other part is a lot of those women take the 3 months and then quit. They don't come back to work.
Right. And some of them intentionally, particularly in the military. In the military, there are women who intentionally get pregnant to get out of the deployment.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
It happens all the time. They literally will plan the day that they get pregnant just to get out, because I think once you're past 30 days or something like that, like, they won't deploy you. So they will literally plan that out to where they're deploying. There's one girl who had six kids kids on an E-5 salary. She couldn't afford that, but she didn't want to deploy.
Wow.
So she was on welfare. She was in the military and on welfare.
Wow.
Yeah, getting government assistance.
Someone said it's 4 months maternity or paternity leave at some corporations now.
Yeah, I know something like that.
4 months.
Yeah.
Wow. That's you're not even getting any productivity out of that person.
Right.
And women have bragged, see, now men can take off. Well, when did men say they wanted to take off? Yes, it's nice, but, I mean, how do companies function like that? And as I said, the problem is, and I've heard women say this, that when you give those women that maternity leave, a lot of them, they don't come back. So now you're screwed as a company. Now you have to replace the person.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at the pandemic, Ted. Look at all the women that were displaced because of the pandemic, right? So they were out of work for two and a half years. And during the whole time, the government subsidized them, gave them money to pay their rent, did all this. Well, the money that they got to pay the rent, they didn't pay the rent. They went on vacations because they felt that they were owed these vacations because of all the work that they were doing before. And now that the government's like, okay, you know, pandemic's over, time to go back to work. They don't want to go back to work now. That's why more and more companies are automating everything they can. They're pretty much automating women out of the workforce because these women, they think they have the bargaining chips. They think that because, okay, it's time to go back to work, you need workers, we have the bargaining chips. We want more money. And it's like, wait a minute. No, you need the jobs.
Right. Yep. Well, you know, if they have it, well, look, like you said, the government has become daddy, right? And that creates daddy issues by itself, right? So I have a daddy. It's called the government, so I don't need you. Or they have a real father, and it is an unreal amount of men still paying car notes and mortgage and giving allowances to their daughters who have jobs. Their daughters have jobs, and they have their daughters have their own place, but the father's still paying for it. So then when that woman gets into a relationship, imagine where her mind is. She's an adult with a degree and a job. Her daddy's still financing her lifestyle. What is she going to expect? She's going to just impose that daddy relationship onto a guy. That's what you're hearing from women.
And it's like, there's just no convincing them otherwise, you know? Like I said, the only way to truly make them comfortable and make them understand is you have to remove every last safety net. You have to give them that equality. See, they've been asking for equality since, you know, forever, and we haven't truly given it to them because we haven't allowed them to fail because they've always had safety nets. Give them that equality that they keep asking for. Give it to them. When they fail, let them suffer just like men. When a man fails in society, he becomes homeless, and nobody cares that he's out on the street, cold, freezing to death, starving to death. Nobody cares about that man, even though that man is more of an asset to society than any woman would be. So give her that same equality that you would a man.
Yep. I want to add something ugly to this daddy issue. And I just wonder, it's a question I have. So I wonder if there, and because it's not discussed by anyone because it's not socially acceptable. So I wonder how many women, we have the Oedipus complex and they call it the Electra. So how many women have daddy issues, are looking for a man to be daddy? She's basically taking her father and putting it on you. Like she's taking her daddy's costume, his superhero outfit, and putting it on you and saying, you have to be this. And the only reason I'm giving you this costume is because it's socially unacceptable for me to have sex with my father. I would prefer to have sex with my father and let him take care of me instead of dating someone else. So I'm going to use you as a fill-in for my daddy, who I desire anyway, but I just can't. It's not socially acceptable. Well, I wonder if that happens. And people would find that offensive, and how dare you say that, but it's like, I just wonder if at the core of daddy issues, if that's what's really there. A lot of these women who have fathers, or women who didn't have fathers and think that they would have desired him sexually, that's why they have these, you know, godlike features and characters. But I wonder how much of that really exists and it's just never discussed. Like she could kill off her mother and marry her father and live happily ever after because daddy knows how to take care of me. It's an ugly thought. Did I lose you, Chris? Oh, you must have got cut out. So I just wonder how often that happens.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I think it does. I think that does play an intricate part of it because, like I said, we have, you know,
women who admit to having Oedipus complexes, so having an Electra complex wouldn't be too far off, you know?
Yeah, Chris, you're muffled. You have women who say what?
Oh, we have women who have Oedipus complexes, so I don't think it's too far off to fathom that some of these women would also have an Electra complex.
Right. And I just wonder if that's really like at the core, is that, and so I'm just going to extrapolate with this. So this is how you end up with sexless marriages, because you're not my father, and I'm just expecting you to play the role, but really I'm sexually attracted to my daddy. I know that's really ugly. People would say that's a grotesque. How could you say that? But
well, no. If you think about it, both men and women, the first person we fall in love with of the opposite sex is going to be your mother or your father, because that was the first person who, you know, who showed love to you, right? So it's only natural for you to look for those attributes or pick someone who reminds you of them. Now, some take it a little too far, but I do think that ultimately women may become jealous of their mother and what was provided to their mother by their father, and want to replace them, you know? Because women always want the man that other women have.
Well,
because
so
they see him providing for that woman, and they want that for them. You know, well, why should she get that and I don't, you know? They have that sort of mindset.
Right, exactly. And I've heard women say, my daddy is perfect. I want a man exactly like my father. And then I ask them, well, what about your mother? Oh, no, I would never be like my mother. My mother just does whatever my father wants. She, you know, she caters to him. She's just like too soft, blah, blah, blah. And then I say, well, do you understand? If you want the exact man that your father is, you have to be your mother, because your father's already telling you what kind of woman he wants. It's your mother. And that's what it takes to get the kind of man your father is. So are you willing to be your mother? And they just, it's like their brains fry. They get very confused at that point. So they want everything. They want what their mother has, but they're not willing to do what their mother has. They actually resent their mothers in a lot of cases. What you're saying, they want what she has. Like if I could remove my mother and fill her, take her spot, but it's just not socially acceptable. But they're just not willing to be who their mother is being.
Right. I think they would do it if the fathers would allow it. But, you know, no man is going to want to have sex with his daughter, you know. Well, the vast majority of men, because, you know, there's been a few cases. I think if it was socially acceptable, if they could do it, they would. I think the only thing stopping it is the actual father himself.
And society.
Right.
Society does not embrace that. There would be a problem. Society would, there would be a big problem with that. So I just wonder if that's at the core of daddy issues, that, you know, wanting a guy. So any guy that you have is just not good. He's never your father. He's never the man you truly desire in every way. And your mother is in the way, and so is society with all of its rules. So I would wonder if that's how you get so much disrespect in relationships from women.
No, I think that's it, you know. They don't know who the father is, but like you said, they have this idea of what he was or, you know, is supposed to be, and You can never live up to that ideology.
I'm saying if he's there. I'm not when I'm talking about when the father is actually there and the parents are together, and that she will end up disrespecting you because she really wants her father. She never wanted you, or she can't have the man that she really wants, which is her daddy. So you'll never get the respect
right.
that she gives to the man that she really wants.
Right.
And
yeah,
her mother, and society is in the way. That's what's standing in the way. So any other man, she's tolerating. So it's easy to have a sexless marriage because she's not having sex with the man she really wants anyway.
Right. Which, if you haven't noticed, Ted, the older women get, if they come from a two-parent household, the less interaction they have with their mother as they age and the more interaction they have with their fathers.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I know I've got cousins who, you know, and when they've gone home for, like, you know, the holidays or whatever, they'll spend all their time around their fathers. But it's like, you know, your mom's right there too, you know. So they'll go in there, they'll sit with their mom, talk for 5 minutes, but after that, it's like right back to their father.
See, I was just asking a question, right? I'm just wondering, like, is there more going on than what we realize, and we're just not asking the right question?
Could be. It could be, but, you know, if you don't know what questions to ask, then you don't know what questions to ask. If you don't know, then you don't know. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why I'm asking questions that are not normally asked.
Right. But at the same time, you're not going to get answers. You know what I'm saying? Well, not from them, at least.
Look, we can, if you know what questions to ask, that could alter what you look for. So listen to what you were saying about your cousins, right? So how they interact. They have both parents there, and they put most of their attention to their father, almost like their desire never went away. He's still a priority.
Right.
Just wonder what else is
going
on.
It's possible, but I don't know. I just I don't know. I'm done, you know, trying to figure out. I just say just let them die alone, you know, because they have to understand that there are consequences for their behaviors, for their mentalities, and for their actions. And as long as there's safety nets for them, you know, be it the government provides them or someone else, you know. And it could be something very simple, you know. Something very simple is them, you know, saying, I have, case in point, I have a coworker who he got divorced from his wife because she started screwing her ex-husband behind his back. So he divorced her, gave her the house, and he moves into an apartment. Well, he's living in an apartment next to this chick who's dating this, you know, this Pookie and this Ray Ray. And the Pookie and Ray Ray, he's doing 90 days in the county. Well, we get an ice storm, and just to be nice, you know, he's thinking that, you know, well, he's, you know, her boyfriend's in prison or in jail. I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to, you know, sweep her off her feet. She'll break up with him, and she'll pick me, you know. You know, he's a nerdy guy, you know. But he really liked her, you know. So he went over there, and when this ice and snow hit, he swept off her driveway, I mean her walkway, you know, out of her apartment. And cleaned off her windshield, cleaned the ice off her car and everything, right? He didn't even get to sniff the pussy, right? So she paid him no mind at all. But the next time a snowstorm hit that was even harder than the first one we got, she literally called him on her phone and said, because he gave her a number, said, hey, I've got snow on my car and snow on my walkway. I don't want to fall when I leave out my apartment. Again, you know, why haven't you got this ice up for me? And I was like, what? But, yeah, she really expected him to come do it again, even knowing he's getting nothing out of the deal.
Did he say
good luck? And I told him, he said, say again?
Did he say good luck, tell her good luck, watch your step?
That's what he said. But knowing him, I really don't think he did. You know,
okay.
I really don't think he did. I mean, because, you know, he was full on in love with this girl. I mean, still, you know, infatuated with her months and months later, even after the boyfriend got out of jail and is back living next door. You know, I think he honestly had it in her head that,
You know, she would see that he was the better option because, you know, he was making, you know, this, you know, a decent salary, whereas the boyfriend didn't even have a job. It's like, no, you don't understand. That's what they want. It's like, no, she's not going to pick you.
Right. No, I understand. Yep. A lot of guys go down that path, too many, and that's the problem. Someone asked, he said, it's kind of funny, all the openness about sexuality in the last 10 years, but certain questions are still taboo. So, and I assume he might have been referring to the question I'm asking, is it, do women have more sexual desire for their fathers than we realize? It's just not discussed. And yes, there's this appearance
yeah.
of open sexuality in the U.S., but it really isn't, because otherwise we'd be able to have any kind of conversation and ask these questions, which could lead to other questions. But we're not as open as, you know, it's a facade, and we're really not as open as we pretend. Go ahead, Chris.
But that is a good point, though, T, because that whole incest, inbreeding thing, that's nasty and typical. Everyday dude don't think of it.
Typically,
so,
right.
So I'm almost flabbergasted with that type of that thought hitting my mind, man. This is some unrealistic stuff. You can't make this stuff up.
But see, the deal is women have different boundaries than men when it comes to sex. So I've seen it. I've heard too many stories. A man is married to a woman, dating her, and he ends up having sex with her sister. Women will have, she will have best friends and have sex with her. You know, it just, your women have less boundaries around sex. They just do. They just don't tell you all of this stuff. And that's part of where I'm coming from. They just have less boundaries, and it's because of what we've discussed before. They don't have a good relationship with consequences, so they don't really understand boundaries, and as you say, Chris, principles. They don't have the same relationship to principles that men do.
Right.
So it's not far-fetched
that they
may be thinking these thoughts, but they just don't tell anyone.
Right. I think they're worried about how society may view them.
That's the point. Exactly.
You know,
and that's what I say.
Yeah, peer pressure.
Society's in a way.
Yeah.
Society's in a way.
Right. Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, back in the day, they could be stoned to death, or they could be completely exiled and booted out of town, and, you know, forced to live on their own, and they don't want that.
Well, and that's why I say economics. So
that's why they normalize this whore culture. Because if only one or two of them, you know, were whores,
right.
You know, then they'd be seen as outliers.
Exactly.
And they'd be shunned, you know. They'd be shunned. But now if you create a culture around it, you know, then it's the norm. And you can't punish me for doing something that's the norm.
Right. I'm doing the same thing everyone else is doing, so you can't be upset with me.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they've
made it abnormal to be a wife now.
And weak, spineless, and unworthy, having no value, because you want to be a stay-at-home mom.
Right. You want to be a slave.
Yeah, that's the word, right. You want to be a slave and a maid. So I do a podcast on Thursday that's all about business. And I had this woman who's a real estate agent. She's 45, and she's very attractive. So I have no idea how attractive she would have been 20 years before. Even 10 years before. But she told me in high school, before high school, as a little girl, she knew she wanted to be a stay-at-home mother. She wanted to be a mother and a wife. And she said, you know, as she got older, high school, people were asking, so, you know, what kind of career, what do you want? And she would say, I want to be a wife and a mother. And people would ridicule her for that. So she said it got so bad that she would just make up stuff and say, I want to be an engineer or a doctor, because she didn't want to be ridiculed. But she actually never abandoned that. She She married her high school sweetheart, guy she started dating junior year of high school, and they've stayed married, I think, 3 kids. And here's what's interesting. Not only did she marry her high school sweetheart, her firstborn child married his high school sweetheart. And this woman, I make a big deal out of her being attractive because she said her husband was a police officer and then went to detective. And she said there were times where money was so tight. So if, you know, with a lot of women who are attractive, they'll just jump ship, but she never jumped ship. So what she did is waited till the children were old enough where, you know, they could be left home alone. And she started a real estate career, and she's knocking the ball out the park. But she had her priorities straight. She got the man. She had the children. They're raising them together, instilled good values. And then she went out and worked, and she's very successful.
But that
now, see how something you made that look.
That is the formula for a successful woman.
Let me just add one thing. You couldn't imagine the joy you could hear in this woman's voice when you talk to her. No bitterness, nothing.
Right. You can tell because she's not fighting her biological imperative. She never fought it. She didn't fight her biological imperative,
yep.
So there was no need for any hostility.
Yep.
These women who are walking around bitter, they're bitter and pissed off because they've let these lesbians trick them and go against their biological imperative to be
yep.
wives and mothers, and
yep.
they're unhappy with themselves, but they can't accept that the fault lies on their shoulders, so they have to lash out at us. It's like transgenders. The vast majority of them, they get those surgeries to completely cross over. They regret it within, you know, 30 days of getting a surgery to the point where most of them commit suicide.
Your fire ain't that man.
But anytime you fight against your biology, you're going to have internal turmoil. And that's what these women are facing. You know, they've let lesbians trick them out of being wives and mothers, which all of them, you know, secretly want to be, you know. It's just, it's in your biology just to want to do that. And you can tell by looking at the careers they choose. They choose careers where they have to take care of people. They choose nurses.
Yep.
They choose to be nurses or food service workers.
So they're
constantly taking jobs in the service industry where they're of service to others, but they'll fight their biological imperative to raise their own and be of service to them because these lesbians have told them that's being a slave.
They become social workers and psychologists, all the same thing that you're saying. Teachers.
I mean, fellas, if it ain't broke, then why fix it? And say, nah, we stuck with a whole bunch of dysfunctional people now. You see what I'm saying?
We are.
Yeah.
That has happened. And they want us to think it's normal.
And Kyle, you crazy because you ain't going along with it.
Or, yeah, misogynist, sexist. So what's wrong with being a misogynist? Is it breaking a law? Is it hurting anyone?
Right, right. No, well, in a natural order, they benefit from me being a misogynist. They benefit from me opening that door for them, for me pulling that chair out for them, for me paying for that meal, for
yep.
me getting up in the middle of the night and going to see who broke in the house. So being a misogynist as a man, yeah, you expect me to be a misogynist when we're in a relationship. So what's wrong? So you think I'm supposed to take that as a bad thing when you call me one?
Exactly.
No, I'm going to embrace it. Yes, I'm a misogynist.
I'm a sexist for sure. And I've broken no laws.
Right. Right.
I mean, me and them started to take more responsibility and accountability for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Not taking accountability for these women's mistakes. And that's
yep.
really the reason why they're lashing out, Ted and Chris, when you say that.
Yeah, and this is why the topic, you know, their fathers, too many fathers have stepped in to bridge the gap instead of saying, look, honey, you can't afford this lifestyle. You know, it's not working. You're going to have to go to a smaller place. You're going to have to live within your means. Find a husband who will take care of you because I'm not going to do it.
Right. Tell him, no. I'm not gonna fix your car. That guy you're fucking, make him fix your car. That guy you're fucking, make him pay for the rent money that you're short on. Make him pay whatever bill you need paid. But these fathers won't do that because they're pussies.
See, back in the day, they couldn't sleep around with your daughter right there unless it was a shotgun wedding, right? You remember them days?
I wasn't alive.
But see, even then, that wasn't the answer. That wasn't the answer. That's where it all started.
I mean, but you understand what I'm saying, Chris? That boy, if he was going to mess with his daughter sexually, he, you know, that old man put that shotgun on and made him, you know what I'm saying, marry his daughter. At least that was my interpretation of the situation.
They did.
Yeah, but that wasn't ensuring that he was going to be a good husband, good father, just because you pulled a shotgun on him one time.
Oh, okay.
Anybody will do anything, they'll do or say anything when faced with their own mortality. But,
right.
You know, once you put that shotgun away and they leave, they're going to revert right back to being the shitty dude he was. Your daughter picked a shitty person. And no matter how many times you pull a shotgun out on him, it's not going to change that.
So, back to what you're saying, make that boy do everything. It shouldn't fall on daddy. Daddy done did all the best he can back. He done got you to where you grown and old enough to, you know what I'm saying, to sustain yourself
exactly.
And be self-sufficient. So, whoever you sleep with, that's who needs to be, you know what I'm saying, that's who needs to be fitting the bill.
The way it used to be was once she turned 18, if she wanted to leave her father's house and go get a boyfriend or whatever, it was understood you're on your own. That's it. I've raised you. I've taken care of you. You're completely cut off financially, right? Now, if anything, he would go help the husband out. If the husband needed something, you know, maybe help him, fix something around the house, help him fix the car, you know, maybe even give him a little money. But that would go to the husband because he knew the husband was responsible enough to pay it back. The husband understood that it wasn't a gift. It was a loan. When you give women anything, it's a gift to them. They don't understand that, hey, I'm giving you this in hopes of getting it back because you're no longer my responsibility. So this isn't a gift to you. This is a loan.
Absolutely.
So the rules of engagement are twisted up now. That's what it is.
Yeah, there's been an attempt to get rid of the rules.
Yeah.
And just do anything. And here's where we are. Everyone gets a trophy, and you can do anything you want. And B, you don't even have to be a man anymore. You can be a woman there are no rules. Do what you want.
Right. Right. You be whatever you feel like being, you know. You feel like you're a woman, okay, you're a woman, you know. If you feel like, you know, if you're a broke single mother and you feel like you're rich, then, hey, you're rich and all these dudes need to give you money and get on your level, you know, if they want to be with you. You know, they need to fund your lifestyle and you get to sit at home.
Right.
Woo!
Even though you're a broke single mother with three kids and a credit score of 300.
That's a low number.
Final thoughts, guys. What are takeaways? So we started talking about all women have daddy issues. The one thing I didn't touch on is should men exploit women with daddy issues? And what am I saying when I say that? If a woman has daddy issues, whether it's the father is there or he's not there, she has an ideal in her mind, and she will do, if she thought her father was a great guy, and you understand what kind of man her father was, you could literally exploit a woman by pretending to be exactly like her father. And if she had no father and she made this God image of a man, you could also easily. And one of the places she would have may have gotten this God image is from a movie. And if she tells you about her favorite movie and why it's a favorite and the favorite character, man, you can just literally take that character script and just personify that person, and she will think that you are this, you're filling this void of that, of the daddy who was never there, and she will be, you could say, blinded. She will actually believe that's love, even though you're just acting. And so women set themselves up to be exploited by that, if you understand that side of it. Very easy.
Right. Yeah, that's what pimps and pastors. Pimps and pastors.
Yep. Very easy. It's very exploitable because she has these ideals about what she's going to get out of image of what she thinks a daddy is, and she'll probably have lots of sex with you. I'm not saying that I haven't done studies and proof on that, but it goes back to the question I was asking. Do a lot of women want to have sex with their fathers anyway? So if you meet the exact criteria, very much like daddy, she might be very turned on and willing to do many things for you as long as you continue to play that role. But if you don't want to play it anymore, you just check out, and she's just been exploited. And there are probably guys who walk away with money from women who are well off, and a guy had nothing, but he was just a good actor. I'm willing to bet that happens. I'm willing to put money on that.
I would agree with you.
So I'm sorry, I had forgotten, I didn't cover that, but that I did that quickly. So final thoughts, guys, conclusions, takeaways. What are your final thoughts on this conversation about do all women have daddy issues, or should men exploit daddy issues?
Well,
I think they do have daddy issues, and they are being exploited for it, whether we like it or not, whether we do it or not. There's always going to be someone to exploit that from them. Like I said, pimps and pastors, and on top of that, you're going to have some lesbians exploit that for them. But society is always going to take advantage of women, and that's why it's so important for them to have a man around, because without a man around, they're just prey to everything. They're literally prey, and that's what we do as men. We keep the predators off them, predators that they don't even realize have nefarious intentions with them, because